Boomer in the Morning continues, brought to you by Gray Wolf Golf Course, host of the 2021 L's for Autism Charity Golf Tournament. Sign up today at graywolfgolf.com. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Well, I guess that's where we're going to start, eh, kids?
Welcome back, buddy.
Let's do that. Well, I do. There is an element of John Cena do this if you're a wrestling fan. I'm in and then I'm out again. Because this is one day and one day only. Matty Rose, everybody. Matty, good to pair up with you here. It is funny that you chose that music. It really is.
Right? I thought this would hit with you.
There's a segment of the population that will pop for that. And there's some people that'll go over their heads, but that's okay. Isn't that really the secret of this show to begin with?
Listen, it's topical. John returned to the ring over the weekend.
He did indeed.
I love this song. Rob Kerr's coming back.
Don't get me started on what happened in the ring, because I'm a little angry.
Well, I have no idea what happened apart from him returning.
No, don't worry about it. My good friend Brent Gibbs and I, we spent a lot of time thinking about these things, because somebody needs to. Matty, good to be back with you. I know it's one of those things. It's one day. And I, you know, a week ago I said, okay, well, what happens on Tuesday? And you go, well, here's, you know, we've got Steven and we've got Adnan and the rest. And I'm like, oh, how are we going to fill the show? And now here we are going, oh my God, we're not going to have enough time to talk, just you and I. So we do want to say that we will get to some I do want to talk some Stampeders with you.
Sure.
Because I think we need to do that.
You bet.
I think we have, just the most incredible July in the history of July. And you know this because you've been around the business long enough. This traditionally, by all accounts, should be a show in which we start talking about the Jays a little bit more, and the regular hosts would take it off and talk about smoked meats and beers and movies and stuff like that, because really there's, you know, not a lot to get to. Free agency's done. Camps will open up in 6 weeks. Yeah, the CFL, but that's on the weekend. So we're, you know, NFL camps in a week. But right now it's, you know, just came out of the All-Star game. Jays, not a lot. You've got the NBA Finals tonight, perhaps Giannis and the Bucks winning a title. Mm-hmm. You have an expansion draft tomorrow, an entry draft on Friday, Saturday, and then 1 week from tomorrow, free agency in the National Hockey League. You do have CFL camps underway. You've got the Jays jiding and heckling, whatever. I mean, they beat the crap out of the Rangers, and then they get the crap beaten out of them in the first inning yesterday by the Reds. There's so much going on. Yet, it's a young man with ties to Calgary that really set the tone in the sports world yesterday. It's a young man who was brave enough, kind enough, and had the foresight enough to share his story. One, to allow him, in his own words, and I love this, his authentic, he wants to be his authentic self, in his words, his authentic self. But Matty, God is my witness. What Luke Prokop did yesterday is going to save lives. It is. It's going to change and save lives, because as a young, as essentially as a teenager, he has shone a light into a place where there's just so many young people scared, confused, looking for something, looking for answers, afraid to ask the question. And his strength and his, you know, his tenacity to do what he did. And he did it. Let's be really crystal clear about this. This is, all due respect to the organization that I'm proud to represent, the Calgary Hitmen, or the Nashville Predators, or the NHLPA, or anybody else. This is Luke Prokop seeking out help to tell his story because he felt he needed to be a leader and a role model. And the young man, and I know him as that. As I know Luke Prokop as a role model and as a leader. That's the only Luke Prokop I know. As good as he is on the ice, and he's good, he's better off the ice and in the community. And if you know anything about this Cowboy, that counts way more to me than anything else in these days. I need good people. I want good people. We need good people. We need leaders. We don't need managers. Good Lord knows we got more than enough managers in this world. Holy crap, do we have too many managers in this world. We need leaders. And it's regardless of what you think of the lifestyle, it just does not matter. It does not matter. Because what Luke Prokop did yesterday is what leaders do. And I just could not be more proud of the kid.
Yeah, for me, this was a big thing. Because as someone who's watched the Hitmen, I obviously covered the Hitmen and know Luke Prokop well from his playing ways. But this is a big thing because it's setting a new tone. Listen, there is a very wide range of role models for people in the LGBTQ community.
Yep.
But not a lot in sport. You know, in different sports, you can find them. Soccer, I know, has a few. But for someone to come into hockey, someone like Luke who definitely has a pedigree that could see him wind up in the NHL. This is a big thing for a lot of people. And I think especially in hockey where sometimes the culture gets a little bit of a bashing.
Sometimes.
This is an important thing for Luke Prokop.
Sometimes. And I'm not here to defend the culture. Like, I'm not. But I know this. This is one of those examples that turns the hashtag, the catchphrase, into something tangible. Hockey's for everyone. It's inclusion. Elliot Friedman said it best. He told a story about Cassie Campbell Pascal going over. You know, they were in a restaurant in Montreal, and she got up to go to the powder room, I believe, and a group of ladies recognized her, and Elliot had her go over. Representation matters. It matters. It matters. Being heard, being given dignity, being given respect. That day in, day out, for the last year, over a year, we've been dealing with these issues. This is not one to cringe and go, it's a news story. It's not a news story. It's a celebration. Okay? What Luke Prokop did yesterday should be celebrated. Because it's going to save lives, Maddie. It's going to save lives.
Yeah, frankly, I have no time for bigots. Like, if you're coming at me and you've got an issue with how someone wants to live their life, frankly, I don't have any time
for
you.
That's your problem. That's
frankly, I really don't have any time for that type of person at all. Hopeful that as we see this move forward, that there's more people who are able to also show the courage that Luke did and support him because, you know, he's not one in however many hockey players there are. There's a bigger number than that, and you hope that there is a lot more courage and an opportunity for young people who are maybe feeling the way that Luke used to.
Right.
Getting a lot closer to where Luke feels now.
Yep. Yep. And for for that small minority, wherever you exist, I suppose it's easy to say, oh, well, they exist on social media or text lines or whatever, wherever that. Don't come at me with your yeah, but racism either. Yeah, but do we really need to hear? Don't give me your yeah, but homophobia. I don't need it. Nobody needs it. Nobody needs it. Okay? This is going to save lives. Everybody deserves to be happy. Sorry, and stop. There's no qualifier to this. And the fact that it happened in sport and the fact that, you know, it's just really cool that it's, to me, it's just really cool that it's Luke. Because of what he is as a person, what he is as a hockey player, and what he is in the community. I think it's awesome. But Maddie, we can't let it, there's got to be takeaways from this, Maddie. There has to be takeaways from this. And I think the challenge is laid out, and I'm not going to talk about anybody else other than myself and my organization and me and what I do. We have to make sure that, I hear this all the time, right? well, it'd be great when we don't have to have. Yes, we all agree it would be great. We got to make sure that the next Luke Prokop feels safe, that he feels comfortable, that he feels that he can come forward, that he doesn't feel like he has to hide. We have to do that. We have to look internally. And again, I'm not pointing fingers at anybody, but the whole damn sport in general needs to continue to do this. Some do it better than others, and some have been doing it for decades. But what Luke did yesterday, the takeaway for that is we've got to make sure that it gets easier and is easier, and that conversation can be had when it needs to be had, no matter what, no judging, no nothing. That's the takeaway from this, Maddie. Us in hockey, English good for beginner, yes? Us in hockey really have to bear down, and we can't just sit here. Like, the social media response yesterday, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Except in a couple of quarters, and I'll get to that in a second. Unbelievable.
Well,
but it can't just be words. It can't just be words. It's the same thing we're going through with, you know, with residential schools right now. Yeah, it's fantastic. Our friends and our neighbors at Siksika and Satina that we work with the Calgary Hitmen, we need to be there in the corner, but we need to do things. Words aren't enough. Yes, it's great. You can heart it. You can like it. You can repost it. You can say, man, I'm proud of you, Luke. But that's just part of the job. The other part is you got to work to help make change, and we all need to do that. We all need to do that.
I think this, for me, shows that there is definitely a step in the right direction and a turning of the page, because I think in the past you would get a lot of these situations where a player wouldn't be comfortable announcing something like this at this point in their career when they're very, you know, early on in their career and they've got the whole next decade laid out in front of him. And that's why I think that this is big for him to be able to tell his story now, to be able to do it in the different mediums that he did. He had the interview with 31 Thoughts. He had the story with Pierre LeBrun. So he covered everything across the board there. He put a lot of thought into it. And I think that was one of my takeaways as well, was everything that I heard from him was incredibly well thought out. But I think this is a step in the right direction, and this shows that we are making progress, as we saw a 19-year-old gentleman come out yesterday. The social media reaction across the board, as you mentioned, for the most part, was very, very positive. From across the entire NHL, it was very positive. But, it's going to be it's a step in the right direction.
One of my favorite new terms or new phrases is read the room. I don't want to get into pointing fingers, but that social media thing, you know what? You don't take his post and amplify it and add your draft analysis of him from a year ago. Read the frickin' room. Like, there's one company that stuck their logo and that got fixed and stuff like that. This isn't about marketing. This isn't about profiting. This is about Luke Prokop. Let's leave it right there. I've said it a couple times. Not about my organization. It's not about the Predators. Not about the NHLPA. It's not about the NHL. He's part of that world. This was about Luke Prokop yesterday. And again, I keep going back to it. Saving lives. Saving lives. Justin Conley from the Calgary Pioneers, and You Can Play, is going to join us at 7045. 7045, Maddie. Am I disconnected?
7:45.
Okay,
looking forward to it.
Sorry, where are you going, Maddie? I just screwed up, and then you're not there. You scared the hell out of me. I'm looking at the thing. It says, no, you're still connected. All right. Maddie, we'll get to Adnan Virk in a couple minutes, but we do need to preface this. Expansion draft tomorrow.
Yes.
Looks like
Elliot
Friedman and others, it makes sense that the Flames are going to have to say goodbye to their captain.
Mm-hmm.
I do not say that lightly, and I do not take that lightly. I want to talk about that today. I also, at some point, we need to talk a little bit about the comparisons, because, you know, we're so good in sport. Well, this is how it happened before, so this is how it'll happen again. There seems to be, at least on the surface, a little bit of a different approach here from Seattle. Okay? And like I said before, So if Seattle doesn't make the Stanley Cup final this year, is it an unmitigated disaster, because that was the bar that was set? Like, the next 24 hours, well, the fallout is going to be fascinating. Let's do that. And, oh, by the way, you cover the Western Hockey League. You cover junior hockey.
Mm-hmm.
This draft, We're going to talk about this draft, aren't we? 10 years from now, we're going to talk about this draft, aren't we?
I think we will. I think we definitely will. Like, this is prime week for Team Chaos. Team Chaos is getting a lot of wins this week. I've got my jersey on. I got my hat. My face paint is on. I am fired up for these next few days.
Because there's a lot of kids that like to do the old redrafting, right?
Yes,
Let's go back. Can you imagine what the redraft in 2031 is going to be of the 2031.
Madness.
But you know what I'm saying? Like, you saw what it was like this year. Limited viewings, limited games. You know, you saw, even limited opponents. All of these things are challenges.
I think something that will stick with me from the 2020 draft for a very long time was the Friday night, the first round, when the Columbus Blue Jackets went up and selected Yegor Shinikov at 21 overall, and Elliot Friedman and everybody else on the panel was frantically looking through their notes, trying to figure out if this guy was a real human or what he was. And we are going to see a lot of that on Friday, I think.
I think so.
Probably a lot more Saturday, but a lot on Friday.
I don't think it's about quality. I just think it's about slotting. And I think Owen Power is probably slotted where Owen Power needs to be slotted. But from what I hear, the groups, like, it's usually one and two or one and then, two through four, two through five, and then 6 through 11. My understanding is the groups are huge.
Yes.
Right? Like, the groupings this year could be 8 to 10 players.
Large tiers. And I think after the first tier, a lot of teams will have very different looking lists. I think that 1 to 8 is going to be pretty similar across the board, and then it's going to be madness. And I can't wait. And I cannot wait.
Speaking of tears, some will be shed when teams lose some players tomorrow. So we will talk about that.
That was a great transition.
I just had to go there.
All
right. All right. The Pinder Report with Matt Rose coming up a little later on. But when we come back, you know him, you love him from Cinepile Podcast. And I love this guy. Cannot wait to talk to Adnan Virk. By the way, we are both live from the Iconic Studio, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. Burner Management, it's Iconic. Follow them on Twitter at IconicE-C. You're listening to Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning is on your radio, tablet, smartphone, and always on your smart speaker. Brought to you by Grey Wolf Golf Course, host of the 2021 L's for Autism Charity Golf Tournament. Sign up today at greywolfgolf.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
MLB insider Adnan Virk, brought to you by Manning Heights. Work, store, play. Personal and flexible warehouse spaces are still available, but going fast. Customize a storage space or expand your business. Learn more at manningheights.ca.
Rob Kerr in for Boomer this morning, Boomer in the Morning. And it's safe to say that when Kelly Kirsch calls and says, hey, we need you to do one show just in the middle of the week for no reason. Well, there's a reason, I'm sure. The first question I always have is, who are the guests? And when Kelly says Adnan, I said, it's enough. It's enough. Are you kidding me? A chance to talk to the man, the myth, the legend from Cinephile Podcast, from MLB Network, hell, from the NHL Network, and he's part of the Dan Le Batard media empire. Adnan Virk, everybody.
Rob, a pleasure to reunite, my man. There's nobody.
How are you, brother?
Than you. I'm doing great, man. How you doing? How's your summer been? Family good?
Well, you know what? It's been hectic because the day job involves, getting a junior hockey team up and running again. So we've been busy. So not much of a summer, but it's good. I mean, it's, when last we spoke over Christmas, everything was kind of weird, bizarre. It was all off by a little bit. And here we are, in the middle of summer. It's still off by a little bit. I mean, we got an NBA final tonight and an expansion draft in the NHL, but it does feel a little bit normal. A lot has happened since you and I've talked. I mean, I said this to you, like, dude, nobody swings in life from their heels like you do. You take cut. You're everywhere. Everywhere.
Yeah.
But I do want to start here, if you're okay, because early on in our friendship, when we first started talking, you have been a rather vocal advocate for inclusion. You have been someone who has spoken up and talked about the need to allow people to come into the sports tent in life. Quite a story yesterday involving a young man I'm very proud to say that plays for the Calgary Hitmen, Luke Prokop.
No question about it, Rob. I mean, we're trying, right? I think like I feel like life right now, we're like this locomotive, you know, we're lurching. We're trying to get to the finish line. We're trying to get out of COVID-19. We're trying to get out of the cesspool of despair, of so much anger and intolerance. And when Luke Prokop feels comfortable enough to announce he's gay, it's a major step. It really is, because we've had moments, we've had players who have identified as gay and then kind of gone by the wayside. Michael Sam, of course, notably in the NFL, just didn't have a career. So what you hope is that, listen, eventually, and I don't, it's going to take years to get there, Rob, but eventually we're going to get to the point that someone announces their sexual orientation and it becomes a footnote. It's something completely irrelevant, because at that point we're so tolerant and we're so inclusive. You go, okay, great, well, moving on. Can he play? Like, I don't care if he's gay or not. So, but we're nowhere near that. So right now it's a point to celebrate inclusion. It's to celebrate Luke Prokop for having the guts, for feeling comfortable enough, for having a great support system, for feeling comfortable enough within his skin, for being willing to deal with, I'm sure there's going to be taunts and having to deal with homophobia. There's a lot that goes with this announcement. It's not just going to be pomp and circumstance and celebration. I'm sure there's negativity that comes with it. But good for him for having the strength of character to be comfortable in his own skin and to announce it to the entire world. It really is something special.
I also wonder a little bit, because of his age, he's 19, he just got drafted in the National Hockey League, and I've said it all morning, and then I think that it's so critical that young people who in this case could struggle with confusion or at least have somebody to look up to that they can relate to. Not to say that Michael Sam at 22 or 23 was difficult, but you know what I'm trying to say. I just feel for those young kids that are so trying to live their lives, right?
Yeah, Rob, if you talk to anybody of, a minority or somebody who's just other, someone who's not part of the mainstream, they'll say it's so important to see symbols. Because once you see symbols, you say, well, I can do that too. So in the case of Michael Sam, unfortunately, we just never saw him thrive in the NFL level. So it becomes a story that kind of just goes away. Whereas if Prokop can become a player of substance, and by the way, he already is a person of substance, to be clear, but if he can become a player of substance, it really is meaningful to someone who's young and gay, saying, you know what, I'm struggling right now. I'm not sure if my parents are accepting. I'm not sure if my community is accepting. But, man, I love watching hockey, and I love this guy, what he stands for. And, hey, if he can do it, maybe I can too. You cannot overestimate how important that is. That's why someone like Kim Ang is so important, a female general manager of Asian descent in Major League Baseball, because all of a sudden one person can really influence a generation of people. And it may sound like we're being Pollyannas, but I really think it's 100% true.
Your former stablemate at The Score, Elliot Friedman, representation matters. That's what he talked about.
Yeah.
And it's so true, right?
Absolutely. And Friedman knows that. Listen, Elliot spoke with the fact that he's battled Tourette's, and that's something that I remember thinking, like, this guy is at the top of the food chain in terms of talent in our industry. And for Elliot to be honest about that and to be candid, I mean, there's some other kid out there with Tourette's going, wow, if Elliot Friedman can overcome this, then maybe I can try to overcome it. So, I mean, Elliot's a great example of another guy who's so hardworking and obviously a big element, I think, towards success for all media, especially all of those from The Score. So, yeah, representation matters across the board.
Adnan Virk, by the way, needs no introduction, but he's our guest. I want to just – here's something that you and I don't normally talk about, the NBA. But we're sitting on a Game 6 tonight in the middle of July, which is only 2021, 50 years since the last time the Bucks won a title. And I don't want to put the cart in front of the horse, because certainly, I think if you go back to the NBA bubble, has there been a bigger story than the Phoenix Suns? But here we are, Giannis about possibly to win that ever so important title. How important is this in the grand scheme of things in the super team NBA, where we're going to get LeBron and his buddies or Harden and his buddy? How important is it to have two teams that are not super teams, that are, have, in the case of the Bucks, have a superstar player, but how important is it to have kind of homegrown teams here?
Oh, I think it's huge, Rob. Like, I think you and I are obviously avid sports fans. And if you'd asked me a couple of weeks ago, have the Milwaukee Bucks ever won a title, I'd be hard-pressed to give you an answer. Like, I'm aware the Suns in 93, and Charles Barkley, of course, that great team, but I'm like, I don't think they've won. Bucks, I'm like, I don't think so. And, like, yes, you're right. We're one win away from 50 years in 1971 and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, so it's a great story for Milwaukee. How about the fact that they're running with the fact that first take, Molly Caron kind of made a flippant comment about nobody wants to go to those terrible cities like Milwaukee and Phoenix. Now they got T-shirts everywhere with a terrible city, proud member of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So it's good to see the people of Wisconsin you know, taking on the chin but firing back. And as far as the teams themselves, listen, Giannis is one of those transcendent superstars. But as you and I know, the guy got a title to really get recognized. So the last few years, he's been MVP quality, but the Raptors upset them. And, you know, we weren't sure about this year. Maybe the big three of Brooklyn would be the favorites in the East. So it's tremendous for him to be in a final, and he's been tremendous. I mean, that last game, when he misses those two free throws, which is the one hole in this game, you go, oh, my goodness, wow, Milwaukee is going to blow this. And then they come back, and that thunderous alley-oop from Jrue Holiday, you talk about punctuation, maybe a statement of this NBA Finals. Giannis is able to prove that. So I'm with you. I've been reluctant to embrace this new NBA of players colluding together. I call me old-fashioned, but I like the idea of Patrick Ewing, like Sisyphus, trying to push the boulder up the hill, and it keeps coming back down on the face of Michael Jordan. But at least he was trying. At least Barkley was trying to win a title. I find it a little bit tricky with these super teams to really kind of find them cuddly and embrace them. So I like the idea that Giannis is a homegrown guy in Milwaukee, that Phoenix has had talent like DeAndre Ayton and Devin Booker. And fine, you supplement with Chris Paul. Of course, all teams supplement. But it's nice to have your homegrown star. So it's been a nice throwback. Kind of reminds me of baseball when everyone kept focusing on the bullpens when the Royals in 2015 won the World Series. But then the Nationals won a World Series with old-fashioned, great starting pitching, Scherzer, Strasburg, et cetera. So it's been a fun series. I honestly thought, Rob, when Milwaukee was down 2-0, the lights were out. But this is why you can never prove a series until each team plays a home game, especially in the NBA.
So I got to ask you one last one on this one. In the world of hot takes, is there an asterisk on any title on this title? It, for either team anyway?
I don't think so. I know it's been an unusual year in terms of still battling COVID and fans were not there for much of the year. I think you could have got it last year because there was such a big, obviously, delay between games and they're playing the Wild World of Sports in Orlando. And again, I still think it counts, but if you wanted to argue, well, LeBron and the Lakers felt a little cheapened last year, I suppose you could have an argument. This year, I don't think so. I think it's a legit title. I think whoever wins it will be celebrated as such.
On to baseball, because you are our baseball insider. And I'd be remiss if I didn't start with the Jays, but I'm going to go as last night was a little bit of a one-off. I am more interested in the zoo, and I use that term, I think, correctly, in New York. you know what? It's kind of spin the wheel of the Mets or the Yankees. Start where you want, but that Mets team, that game against Cincinnati last night, which is, as they call it, so typical Mets. I mean, is this team imploding on us right now?
It's felt like smoke and mirrors that they're even in first place, Rob. I went and saw a game a week ago, and I'm looking at each player when they step up, their offensive statistics. And each time I'm going, egad, like these guys can't hit nobody. Lindor's had a horrific season. James McCann, big free agent catcher signing, he doesn't hit very much. I go up into the left. Dom Smith's been a disappointment. Pete Alonso, yeah, great in the home run derby, has power, but he strikes out too much. Like, to me, I'm like, this starting pitching of DeGrom, who's been otherworldly, Stroman and Taiwan Walker, a couple former Jays in the mix, they're the big reason why they're in first place. And every other team in that division is 500 or worse. And I'm thinking, as long as another team steps up, like the Braves were my pick to win, but their starting pitching has been a real disappointment. If anybody just plays 600 baseball, you should win that division. And now to your point, this second half, boom, DeGrom goes in the IL after dealing with nagging injuries. He's now officially not going to pitch for a little while. Lindor on the IL, right side tightness. And that game they had the other day, when Taiwan Walker, that foul ball, for those who didn't see it, the ball was foul and then started to go fair. And he scooped the ball up, but it was still a fair ball. And the ball goes flying. 3 runs score. You go, only the Mets could do that. And then with the circumstances happening last night, you go, oh, man. I mean, it's starting to get messy in New York. They're still a first-place team. But honestly, if the Phillies and Braves just show a pulse, Rob, that division's up for grabs.
It is, and it makes you wonder what happens in the next 10 days in terms of the trade deadline and who feels that they still have a legitimate shot to get in and what do they add. So let's go to the other side, which is the Yankees. Nasty incident over the weekend involving the fans and a baseball thrown back on the field. But and this isn't a new story. This is a story I think that has started, you know, really picking up steam in the last month or so. But what are we watching with Brian Cashman, the Yankees as a whole right now?
Well, I think what we're seeing is really poor roster construction from Brian Cashman. And Aaron Boone, my old buddy from our ESPN days, I feel for him because he's trying to, you know, execute a plan which is deeply flawed. First off, the lineup is way too right-handed. They're only left-handed lineups, which makes no sense considering I know they've got a certain short porch and right, which would be beneficial for, let's say, a Kyle Schwarber, who was a free agent a season ago. They also don't run the bases well. If you want to go by sabermetrics, BSR is a metric used on Fangraphs. They're the worst base-running team in baseball. Defensively, they're not particularly strong. There's three issues. And then the fourth one, which is there's young players have not developed the way they thought they would. They thought Gleyber Torres would be their Javier Baez, their Trevor Story, their Corey Seager. And he hasn't been that. He's got six home runs. He's barely adequate at shortstop. Clint Frazier, they thought would be a star in the outfield. He was hitting 200 and now out with vertigo. Gary Sanchez was miserable in April and May, had a hot June, came back down to earth in July. So your young players have not stepped up, and then you're still saddled with this huge albatross contract to Carlos Stanton, who's a good player, not a great player. Aaron Judge has been your best player, and then also, unfortunately, he wasn't vaccinated, I believe. Now he's out with COVID. And then they've been built for so many years, Rob, with power hitting and power bullpen. Aroldis Chapman struggled, so all of a sudden that raises questions about your bullpen. And the power bats, how about this stat? The only way they win is if they hit home runs. It's always been that way for the Yankees the last 5 years. But this year, 65% of their home runs are solo shots. So before, they were always reliant on the three-run jack, and now it doesn't come. It's a solo home run. That's not enough offense to step up. And the biggest one is Gerrit Cole's an outstanding pitcher. After that, there's not enough depth in the rotation. It is good to see Jameson Taillon, fellow Canadian, who's been great these last five starts. That is very helpful for the Yankees. But they've got a lot of question marks for this second half.
Just to finish off with the Jays, they're going to come home. It's going to be, you know, when they come to Rogers Center, the third home base of the season. I don't know if you heard the Ross Stripling comments after the game. And I, you know, age-old thing in the media, right? Oh, athletes never say anything, and when they say something, we want to rip them. But he was really upfront about, yeah, you know what, I wasn't thinking about this. I was thinking about leaving my family. Can you just maybe add a little context to what the Jays have been asked to do the last two seasons and what a relief it must be going back to Rogers Center?
Yeah, it's insane what these guys have had to go through. I don't think anyone can appreciate it unless you're in their shoes. Imagine if you sign with a team, like Robbie Ray has yet to pitch in Toronto, and he's in Dunedin, and then all of a sudden he's in Buffalo. You know, George Springer signs his big contract, hasn't played in Toronto. Marcus Semien as well. Vlad Jr., we haven't seen as a star yet because he's been in Florida and been in Buffalo. It's awfully tough if you're a young player because you're trying to acclimate your surroundings and be successful in Major League Baseball. It's very hard if you have a family, if you have wife and kids, and they're in school, and you got to move them around, and where are we going for the summer? So I think it's been an enormous challenge for these guys. I think it's fabulous news that they're going to be back in Toronto at least for the next couple of months. I mean, that almost feels like, at the risk of hyperbole, that feels like a great trade deadline move. Like, all of a sudden, you're going to have 40,000 fans cheering you on because at Salem Field, it's 16,000. I'm sure those Buffalo fans are excited, but this is your home park again. This is your home team. So I think 40,000 fans will give the Jays a certain boost. I think they're a good team right now. I think that they've got a little bit of momentum right now. It's going to be a challenge because the Rays and the A's have the wild card spots. But, God, thank God they're coming home, man. I couldn't imagine how nomadic that journey has been.
You know, I got a million more, and I could go on forever. But unfortunately, they've sold ads. Fortunately, they've sold ads on this station, so we have to go. But quickly, what's on Cinephile? Because it's my favorite podcast. I download, I listen, but tell the audience.
Oh, you're such a good man, Rob. So the good news is movies are back, and now every week there's a movie to review. The bad news is most of the time summer is superhero movies and sequels, yep, which is not exactly my favorite movie. So I'm reviewing Space Jam 2 on the latest podcast, which you're taping today. Let's just say the first one was average at best. The second one is not exactly going to be Citizen Kane. But we'll talk about it in depth, and good to see LeBron James at least lending his talents to the silver screen. I've also reviewed Black Widow recently, superhero movie. But the movie we got to talk about, Rob, and we will next time, hopefully, is Stillwater. It's coming out next week. It stars Matt Damon, and it's written and directed by Tom McCarthy, who's the guy who did Spotlight, the film you love as much as I do. It's a brilliant movie. I hope everyone goes and sees Stillwater. I was lucky enough to see it at a preview screening last week, so I'll review it next week on Cinephile. But it's a really special film. I think it's going to be one of the better movies of the year. It's real quick. It's Matt Damon plays a guy who's a construction worker, Trump supporter from Stillwater, Oklahoma, goes to Paris trying to help his daughter get out of prison. And there's lots to it in terms of, you know, global atmosphere, the way people view Americans, crime thriller. It's a great film. So I look forward to people checking it out.
No animated rabbits and he has no special powers?
That's just going to confuse people. They're going to walk into the multiplex, Rob, and go, wait, it's July 30th. And what
minute.
Is this movie? I did not. I thought this was a Bourne movie. Why does Matt Damon have an accent all of a sudden? He's wearing, you know, he says it has a Southern accent. This doesn't make sense. Where am I?
You are the best. Until next time, my friend, always knows I'm listening and I'm following you on Twitter. Adnan, I love it. Thanks for doing this, pal.
You're the best, Rob. Great to reunite. And best of luck with the junior team. And hopefully you get some family time and enjoy a little barbecue.
I appreciate it. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Rob.
MLB Insider Adnan Verk, brought to you by Manning Heights. Work, store, play. Personal and flexible warehouse spaces are still available, but going fast. Customize a storage space or expand your business. Learn more at manningheights.ca.
Well, I'm going to get out of here because Matty Rose is going to want my head on a stick. I cut into his time. But when we come back, Matty Rose presents the Pinder Report at Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome to your morning show. This is Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Grey Wolf Golf Course, host of the 2021 L's for Autism Charity Golf Tournament. Sign up today at greywolfgolf.com. Boomer in the Morning is on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
I just did the intro I wanted to do. Now I can't remember what I was going to say. I forgot that there was a liner. I'm Rob Kerr, by the way. I used to be somebody. Now I just hang around waiting for the phone to ring. But coming up, Stephen Brunt just after the top of the hour. Right now, though, Matty Rose with the world-famous Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Bring in your BMW for the best repairs and service in the city and the best price. They'll beat any competitor on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
I'm Matt Rose.
Keep forgetting there's production, Matty.
Oh, it's a big fun thing we do here, Rob.
Yeah, it sure is. It sure is. Anyway, I digress. I've already cut greatly into your time.
Oh, we'll be fine. Not a ton today. We'll get right into it. It's yesterday. It started to break in the morning. Actually, about 23 hours ago, Luke Prokop tweeted out on his Twitter account at Luke_Prokop_6. The Calgary Hitmen defenseman and 2019 third-round pick of the Nashville Predators came out as gay over social media. Elliot Freeman and Jeff Merrick released a new episode of 31 Thoughts, the podcast, with much more on Luke's story. And that's where we got this clip about Luke talking about coming out in hockey.
Having a career with, you know, 3 Stanley Cups and a Norris Trophy and all these records is amazing and something that, you know, I'm hopeful in wanting to do. But I would rather play one game or 2 games in the NHL and create a lasting difference or a lasting change. Have some sort of impact on the game that goes beyond the ice.
Luke has 2 more seasons of eligibility with the Hitmen and is getting set for his first pro camp with Nashville this fall.
Hey, I'm proud of the kid. You know, again, all due respect to my organization, the Nashville Predators and everybody, I cannot stress this enough. This is not their story. This is Luke's story. And what he did yesterday, I keep coming back to it. He's going to save lives. He will. He will be a beacon for those who are struggling with their identity, struggling telling someone. Again, his authentic self is the word that he used. And he feels he's going to play his best hockey now because he feels he can be his authentic self. Everybody deserves a right to be their authentic self. So to me, you know, I've known him for a couple of seasons, and I've known him as a leader. I know him as a good hockey player. And people that know me know that when I say this, he impresses me far more off the ice than he does on the ice. He's always been front and center for us in our community initiatives, working with the Heroes kids, the Superheroes kids, you know, going to minor hockey practices. He's always, if I was hiring, I would hire Luke Prokop already. And now because of this, he's awesome. I'm so proud of the kid.
Elliot Freeman reporting it, perhaps the first signing for Seattle. Goaltender Chris Drieger, formerly of the Florida Panthers, signing a 3-year contract worth $3.5 million per season with the expansion draft on Wednesday. That would be the Kraken's.
Release the Kraken.
The Kraken's first selection. That would be their pick from Florida. It won't be made official until Wednesday. Could they still be in on Carey Price? Elliot Freeman said this yesterday on The Big Show.
I mean, there's Holtby, there's Kakanen, there's Vanacek, who I really liked last year. Like, there's some good goalies there. And I think they planned on taking a few of them and keeping some and moving some others for more picks and prospects. Like, somebody said to me, there's no way they're spending $14 million in goal. I said, like, if you're comfortable with Price and Drieger as your combination, why wouldn't you?
Well, so first of all, Matty, how about you? Who would you take? Because I got to be honest with you, the Kakanen kid from Minnesota intrigues me the hell out of me. And the same thing with, is it Vanacek out of Washington? I apologize.
Yep.
I don't think I'm.
Yeah, nope, okay. That's a bingo.
Right? And I'm like, holy crap. But I keep forgetting, you know, it's an expansion draft, but you don't have to keep them, right? You don't have to keep them.
The Golden Knights flipped five of the players within a week that they had right? selected for picks.
And if you're a team like, I don't know, say the Oilers, is my, you know, do you have your goalie of the future? I don't think you have your goalie of the future.
Do you believe in Stuart Skinner that much?
Well, would you, you know, jump the line for one of those kids?
Well, like,
the Carey Price one, because of the injuries and everything, I think that's going to give them pause, you know. The other, and I don't know, did you guys talk about this? I have two things. One, how much did you guys talk about the fact of that reporting that, and I think it was Eric Engels that reported or somebody reported it, that the NHL has told Seattle that they can't draft him or take him in the expansion draft and then trade him back to Montreal and eat salary? That's, I hadn't even thought of that.
Cap circumvention,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. And the other one is that Liam Neeson clip from the remake
Clash of the Titans.
Release the Kraken.
Okay, so that clip, how much do you guys play that clip?
I like to go between that and then this one.
And let this day be cursed by we who ready to wake. The Kraken!
But that one's a bit much, so we usually just play the short one.
You have to wait for the payoff there.
Yeah.
You have to wait for the payoff.
And it's like, even after he says Kraken, it goes on for a little while because Davy Jones or Orlando Bloom's dad yells. Like, yeah, it's a big...
What?
It's from Pirates of the Caribbean.
It is, is it?
We're gonna drive!
It was a banger.
We're gonna drive!
We like our team, Barry.
Yeah, game one of the Jays and Red Sox was yesterday. Last series in Buffalo for the Birds. Ross Stripling, he can't wait to get to Toronto. What a rough first inning for Ross.
Hits this ball high and deep to left field, and this is going to be gone. A first major league home run for Jaron Duran goes the opposite field.
What sounds surprised?
Pass ball upstairs, and that is high and deep, and Springer's going to watch this one go. Grand slam home run for Hunter Renfroe. Big inning for Boston, 6-0.
Gulp, Buck was feeling that one's going to be a long tilt.
Holy crap. Now, I'll come back to the Jays in a second. Did you happen to look at the scoreboard last night?
Like the Blue Jays scoreboard?
No, the MLB scoreboard.
Yeah, I'll get there in just a moment.
Oh, okay. Okay, so listen, Rod, are you going to play some Stripling clips?
Well, first I was going to play this because I was going to say, well, they went to Anthony Kay in the rest of the first inning because you're kind of stepping all over the story here. But Anthony Kay came in. Would he relieve?
1-1 pitch to Kike Hernandez. Swing and a drive. This ball is gone way back. Another home run for Boston here in the first.
Yeah.
Kike Hernandez with his 12th.
Yeah.
8-0 Boston.
Yeah, so Anthony Kay didn't do that well either. The Jays fall 12-4. Jays will play two road series before heading to Toronto to continue their season.
Hold it.
They lost 13-4.
Yeah, don't rob Boston of a run here.
Yeah, Ross Stripling, not really mentally focused.
And on Wednesday, I'm going to have to say bye to my family for 2 months, which is actually weighing on me much harder than I want it to be. And I think... you know, when you're not, for one, you don't have your good stuff and you're not in a 100% mentally focused, that lineup can punish you. And that's what they did. You know, that was they did that to me in Dunedin and they did it to me today.
Chicken strips. Can't wait to get to Toronto and just figure out this season. Blowouts across the majors
now,
yesterday.
Hold on. Wait a minute. Slow down. I'm new here. What?
Chicken strips. Ross Stripling. Strips.
Is that legit?
That's what we call him, right, Riles? That's what me and you call him?
Yeah, that's his name.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Thank you. Okay.
Blowouts.
Chicken strips.
Blowouts across the majors yesterday as the Nationals led the Marlins 18-0 at one point. The Tigers led the Rangers 14-0. And the Bo Sox led the Jays 12-0. Fourth time in MLB history that three teams have held a 12-0 lead on a single day. Woof.
See, but I was looking a couple of days ago when there was a day like that. Like, it's not, there's been a couple of days like that recently, hasn't there?
Not with the 12-0 victories. The last one was in like 2006 or 2007.
No. But I'm talking about double digit. Okay. This is what I was thinking of. I was looking back at Friday. There was a 24-8 game. San Diego over the Nationals, 11-6, Brewers over the Reds, 10-2, Jays over the Rangers, and Dodgers 10-4 over the Rockies. You know, it's not what it's no, it was worse yet, but there's been the runs are getting scored right now. Is that perhaps because of the lack of Spidey Tack?
Perhaps. I haven't noticed a discernible change. We'll have to do a deep dive on the numbers.
Oh, I think the numbers will. I think the numbers will defend that hypothesis of mine.
Alek Manoah was supposed to go today. It'll be Thomas Hatch instead. Manoah fell down the dugout stairs, bruised his back.
I'm sorry. What?
He fell down the dugout stairs.
He fell down the dugout stairs.
10-day injured list for Manoah. Listen, he's like 6'8" and 240 pounds. Like. You fall down the stairs that way.
I'm 6'3" and more than that, and I don't fall downstairs. I'm just saying.
But if you did, like, how many days would you be on the IL?
The Expo. This wouldn't happen to the Expo.
Oh, okay. That's,
I'm just saying.
That's where we're going here. Okay.
This wouldn't happen with the Expo.
Garrett Richards will counter for the Sox. WCBL.
Boo! Look out! Let the big dog eat!
Dogs Red back in action down at Siemens Stadium tonight. They'll take on the Lethbridge Bulls. First pitch at 7:05. That's like their song. They play it when they win. They requested that we play it for the Dogs.
The Dogs requested the station to play that when they win.
They didn't. The intern who works for the Dogs told me that they would like. It's just a thing.
So now we take requests from teams?
Not always. No.
It's just, I don't mind. I don't mind it. I'm just wondering. I'm not because I have a few thoughts on the Hittman victories. But
oh, you got.
I'm just if that's where we're moving towards.
It was that or it was this.
Yeah.
Okay. And I don't think we needed that. So
were you alive when that song was released?
Yeah, I was alive when Who Let the
when
Dogs
it came
out? Yeah.
When did it come out? Like, how old are you? 40? What? Like that? That's a mid-90s song.
Yeah,
right?
And I was
fine.
It was born. Did you see that? I was seven.
That was the Baja Men, right?
Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, they actually went on Saturday Night Live and performed that. I might be misremembering, but I remember it's kind of like that episode of The Simpsons. Dexy's Midnight Runners won Best New Vocal. Well, we haven't heard the last of them. I guess we have.
I can't find anything about the Baja Men on SNL. Oh, here we go. October 21st, 2020, perhaps.
2020?
Or 2010. 2000. What have you done to me?
Well,
we're moving on to the NBA.
I
we
blame
have to get to
chicken
Steven
strips.
Brunt. And it's game 6 of the NBA Finals tonight. Giannis and the Bucks are looking to eliminate the Suns after they lost the first two games. Since game 2, Chris Paul has yet to break 22 points for the Suns. Giannis' brother, no action for the Bucks tonight. He is in the COVID protocol. But we're looking forward to this one. It's going to be on Sportsnet, 7 o'clock start.
What are we going to do next July?
Like when there's no sports again?
No. When there isn't all sports again. Because next July, we will be into a CFL season. We'll be into an MLB season. We'll be still a week away from NFL camps. But we won't be having drafts and expansion drafts, and we won't be having NBA finals. Like, really, you know, this is pretty cool. And I'm excited for Milwaukee. I said it to Adnan. I'm not sure where you come down on this. Sports is such a copycat enterprise. Right? So LeBron gets three friends and goes to Miami. So, a decade later, everybody's getting three friends and going to places. It's kind of nice. It's kind of refreshing to have these two teams in the final. But I'm also a little bit of a realist. I think if you look at how the Suns, not taking anything away from them, but the Suns, were the, played teams that were missing bodies, as did, that's to me the season is the injuries and the toll that it took on these players. Do you think these teams are back next year? Is it possible that Giannis is going for number two in a row or Chris Paul's going for number two in a row? I don't know.
I'd say more likely on Giannis, less on Chris Paul.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Exciting 15th round action at the Canadian Football League draft.
The Saskatchewan Rough Riders scored only 4 rouges all last season.
CFL teams had to make their first set of cuts yesterday. Second set will come on July the 30th. 10 days from now, the Stamps released receiver George Campbell, defensive lineman Khalil Morris, receiver Bernard Reedy, linebacker Darrell Williams. They're all Americans. They also released Aussie kicker punter Gerard Laws.
Any surprises?
No, not at all. The only one I'd really noticed was Gerard Laws, and that's pretty much because he was Australian.
Right, right, right.
Fast kicking, low scoring, and ties. You bet.
The Canadian Soccer Association announced the return of the Canadian Championship. Cavalry's first round is going to be in Edmonton on August the 15th. Their next game is Thursday when they play Forge FC. You like that? You like that one?
I do. You know why?
Why?
I like fun.
Yeah, I
know
you
do. And I like my
do.
Sports being fun. I love it. I'm excited for the Cavalry to get back to ATCO Field. I'm excited for it. You know, in many ways, I thought, you know, a great Calgary sports story, the inaugural season, the growth, what they're doing out at Spruce Meadows, you know, they had already built a culture. They have a culture. That's not a, but where it was going to go, I just want to see people back enjoying sports again. Very excited for them, and this is another step forward.
Yesterday, Canada announced their flag bearers for the games. Nathan Hirayama, the men's rugby player, and Miranda Am, the women's basketball player, are going to be your co-flag bearers. Three athletes in the village have tested positive for COVID-19, two South African men's soccer players, as well as a Czech beach volleyball player. The events actually begin late tonight. Canada will face Mexico in softball at midnight. You know, Lou's staying up for that one. The Canadian women will face Japan in soccer at 4 a.m. tomorrow. And, yeah, that's pretty much all I got.
That's it?
That's it.
And good night and good luck to you, sir.
That is the Pinder Report.
The Pinder Report, brought to you by Motorworks. Bring in your BMW for the best repairs and service in the city and the best price. They'll beat any competitor on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
He's Matty Rose. I'm Rob Kerr. You know who you are. Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, we'll spend a little time with Stephen Brunt from Sportsnet as well. Justin Connolly from the Calgary Pioneers and an ambassador for You Can Play will drop by. So much to do this morning. It is 7:02, 16 degrees in Calgary, and of course, smoky again. Stay safe out there, everybody. We'll come back with Stephen Brunt here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Back to Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Grey Wolf Golf Course, host of the 2021 Elves for Autism Charity Golf Tournament. Sign up today at greywolfgolf.com. Okay, smart speaker, play Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Stephen Brunt, brought to you by Hyperbia. Find the correct blend of performance, reliability, and affordability for your hosting service with Hyperbia. Details at hyperbia.ca, Calgary's local cloud.
Rob Kerr in for Boomer in the Morning. My understanding is them or somebody else will be back here tomorrow. But I luck out. I get to talk to Adnan Burke. And then so rarely in my career did I ever get to talk to this man. It always felt like being robbed of something and Boomer was hoarding him. But I get to talk to Mr. Brunt. Stephen Brunt joins us from Sportsnet. The most important question that I can ask you right now, sir, is how's the fishing?
It's been okay, you know. It's the some of the salmon moved through a little early this year, so I've been chasing them a bit. But I guess some good sea trout fishing. So, yeah, I am fishing. Let's put it that way.
Okay, and are they? Is it dependent on hatches out there too? Like, are we waiting?
No,
for bugs
these are
to come on?
Okay. No, it is. No, it's a different thing because the salmon, Atlantic salmon, don't feed once they hit fresh water. So they don't care about stuff like that. They don't eat at all while they're for months in the fresh water. So you're just trying to coax them to attack something. It's a different psychology than kind of trout fishing back home.
All right. Well, I thought I'd ask. You know, I'm sure for them it was a rich environment. It's a rich environment for sports people right now. Holy cow. We will never have a July like this again, I don't think. A week in which we see an expansion draft, an NBA final, an NHL entry draft, and an Olympics? Like, this is really kind of cool, isn't it?
It's very cool. Look, there have been a lot of less than cool things the last year and a half. So, and this probably will never happen again. Let's hope it doesn't happen again because there's the convergence of circumstances. We're not that great. But, Let's enjoy this week. You know, normally these are kind of dog days in July, right? It's baseball and the CFL and not much else. And the hockey guys are all at their sitting on a dock somewhere,
yep.
You know, trying to avoid having to talk to folks. So, yeah, it's and, you know, to have the expansion draft and the draft and the free agent stuff all rolled into one. plus game six of what's been an amazing NBA final, plus, you know, CFL guys in camp finally after a missed year, plus baseball heading, not just playing, but heading up to their own trade deadline, and the Jays heading back to Toronto. Like, it's a heck of a lot of news to cram into 1 week, and then, you know, a bit of history made in hockey as well. So, yeah, there are weeks when we pine for something to happen. You know, Rob, this business, right, where you're just like, geez, I wish something would happen.
Right.
Well, here you go. Everything's happening in 7 days. So here we go.
Well, 1 year from today, it'll be Major League Baseball. Don't forget, on the weekend, there'll be a CFL game, and we're a week away from NFL camps, right? Like, it's crazy what this is usually is.
Yeah, midsummer normal, you know, kind of waiting for things to get to, you know, kick into gear in Labor Day. And but yeah, this I know everybody should be outside enjoying the good weather, summer weather, as best they can right now. But boy, there's going to be a temptation to lock in and stick close to your screen, whatever sort of screen it happens to be.
So, Stephen, let's touch on a few of these. And I do want to ask you a little bit about the Olympics. Is it wrong for me to feel for the athlete? Is it wrong for me to feel for the Canadian athletes that are going over there? Because this one does feel different. It just doesn't seem to have the same hype and circumstance kind of, you know, in the public eye. It means everything to these athletes who train their whole lives for this moment. Is it all right to feel a little bit sorry for them for these Olympics?
Yeah, look, I obviously better that from an athlete point of view, better that they're happening than not happening. I think last summer must have been pretty darn horrible for a lot of people, but horrible for athletes. For many Olympic athletes only have one Olympic cycle, really, where they have any chance of being at their best, and the majority of them only get to go to one Olympics, and that those games being canceled last year and the uncertainty of, you know, when or if they would ever happen. That'd be pretty bleak if you dedicated a huge chunk of your life to trying to get there. So that this is better than that. At least they get to go. But, you know, see, like the Olympic experience, you know, again, most of the folks who go to the Olympics don't wind up on the podium. They don't, and many of them have no chance to wind up on the podium. But it's, you know, there's so much more involved in being an Olympian. And I say this from a peripheral point of view. I've been to plenty of Olympic games in covering them, going back to Calgary in 88. And, you know, even for us, when you cover the games, the experience of being in a different place, you know, absorbing a different culture, meeting people from all over the world, that's a huge part of it, you know. And especially, you know, you hear all the Olympic Village is a fun place to be normally if you're a young and you're an athlete and it's your big moment, and you know you're ready for your competition. But once the pressure's off, you know, they have tons of fun, right? They're in a place that's, they're allowed to kind of wander around and kind of absorb the surroundings, having an adventure, and all of that's gone. You know, like they've got none of that this time. You know, never mind the fact there's not going to be anybody. You know, there's not going to be 80,000 people in a stadium cheering for them, or people lining the streets for the marathon or any of that. It's that they're going to be kind of hermetically sealed. You know, come in, come out. The opening ceremonies for the athletes that are part of the opening ceremonies, it's going to be essentially in an empty building. You know, imagine that moment when you walk into the stadium with the flag and wearing your uniform, and you know, and you're going to look around and it's going to be just a big, echoey, empty building. And we know what those look like now because we've seen a fair number of them over the last year. So yeah, I do feel for them. And it's different, like professional athletes. And I know that some of the athletes in the Olympics are professional athletes, but for professional athletes, team sport athletes, it's a job. And they've had to do that job over the last year in unusual circumstances, but they're well compensated for it. And it's more like punching the clock in some ways. This is different. And and they're not getting this back.
Just, I guess it's an ask for a prediction, but, you know, we're living in a moment of social change, a moment of time. The last year, so much has bubbled to the surface. And the IOC has, as best they think they can, tried to, you know, cut things off at the pass. Are we going to see protests? Are we going to see athletes continuing to use their voice for social change in these Olympics?
It's a really good question. And again, you know, it's I know they're going to be on television, but remember, this would be people protesting in an empty building.
Yep.
It's going to feel pretty strange in a lot of ways, and I'm not sure who would be moved to do that or not do that. You know, the IOC, kind of hides behind a veil of, Olympic purity and Baron de Coubertin and all of that to justify the fact that they don't want people to, mar their party, mar their corporate party, embarrass their hosts, all of those things. And, and to that end, they have bowed before a whole bunch of horrible dictators over the years. So I'm not sure they have a moral leg to stand on here. Well, I am sure they do not have a moral leg to stand on here. But I'm not sure, whether I would guess yes, given the climate and given the climate of the world. But to try and predict who or when, I don't know.
Speaking of social change, yesterday, a very significant day in the world of hockey. Proud to call Luke Prokop a Calgary Hitman and very proud of the young man. Again, you've chronicled sport and the change that comes of it and the mechanism that it can be for change. Your thoughts on Luke Prokop and his announcement as he came out yesterday?
Well, it's a great day. It's a great day. And I guess my only wish is that it had been able to happen a long time ago, that players who were closeted were not able to live their full lives, in public anyway, not acknowledge who they are. And, I don't care who people sleep with, but to have to deny your reality in public, mm-hmm. to kind of have to put up a facade. I know there's folks who heard this yesterday and say, well, what's the big deal? That's not the world we live in now. It's not a big deal. Well, it is a big deal, because hockey was one of the last places. Hockey in the National Hockey League is one of the last places. And there have been gay players in the National Hockey League who were scared, who feared being able to reveal who they were to their teammates, to their coaches, and to the world. And I'll tell you, we've kicked around this idea. We've many athletes coming out over the years, mostly individual athletes, not team sport athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And, what it took for them to do that, some pioneers like Martina Navratilova back in the day, Greg Louganis, but again, individual athletes. But we always say, okay, who's going to be the first hockey player to do it? Because hockey seems like this seems like a big one because it's happened in the NFL. It's happened in some other sports. And I'll tell you something. I never thought it would be an 18-year-old kid playing junior, who's drafted and who's going to play in the league.
Yep.
I thought it would be a guy whose career was established, who was maybe at the tail end of it, and who felt secure enough in that moment to be willing to do it. So he must be a special kid. Rob, I know him.
Yeah. If we had talked last week about Luke Prokop, I would have gone on and about him off the ice. That for us in with the Hitmen, he does so much in the community. He's a leader for us. Great hockey player, but I just thought he was an immense leader in the community for us, and we're very proud of that. And then for him to do what he did, and I'm glad you brought up the age, Stephen, because he's going to save lives. We're really good now about talking about mental health, but we don't dig deep. There's somebody's going to hear him. A young teenager's going to hear him and go, that gives me some clarity. That helps.
Yeah, it's the term kind of role model is thrown around pretty loosely, sometimes, but to be able to see yourself reflected is extraordinarily important, in any walk of life. We like to think that we have evolved, beyond this discussion. And certainly there was an outpouring of support and predictably an outpouring of support from Luke Prokop. And he's going, David Boyle, that's a great organization in Nashville. He's going into a great organization in terms of the people who run it.
Mm-hmm.
But there's going to be some stuff for this kid. He's going to deal with some things. We are not beyond that discussion, unfortunately. But the most important thing, I think, is just what you identified, which is that somewhere there's a kid, who might be struggling, with his identity, who might not have talked to his parents or talked to his friends, or certainly if he's in a hockey dressing room, might not have talked to his teammates or his coach about this. Again, not as a big declaration, but just This is who I am, because that's the point. You know, it's not a choice. This is who you are. And they'll, I think that he'll make those folks more comfortable and, you know, more brave. Shouldn't have to be brave, but that's the reality of it. And I have an enormous amount of admiration for this young man from a distance. I think he must be a pretty special guy.
I think so too, but I also think that this can't just be social media posts. That this has to be a time for us in the game to make sure that we continue to build an environment that the next Luke Prokop feels comfortable enough that he can, you know, be. I love that term that he uses, authentic self. Right? He was, you know, but we in the game in sports need to continue to make sure that we become that safe harbor. Inclusion's such an interesting word, right? Like, we all want to throw inclusion around. We all want to talk about it, but this, we need to, he's thrown down the gauntlet to a certain extent that the game has to continue to work to be inclusive.
Yes. And that's, you know, and I like what you said about, you know, social media posts, because, you know, in an era where thoughts and prayers, you know, tweeting thoughts and prayers kind of gets you off the hook for a bunch of things, right?
Right.
Like anything horrific. Well, thoughts and prayers, well, it doesn't mean it's empty and meaningless and doesn't do anybody any good. So, yeah, everybody publicly pretty much is going to step up. You know, everybody in the game stepped up and said, boy, we support you. But this isn't about, you know, looking good on Twitter or in your Instagram story or something like that. It's going to be very much about not what's said in public, but what happens on the ice, in the crowd, you know, in the places where we are not necessarily privy. That's, you know, let's anybody who's talked to a minority athlete, you know, people of color, Aboriginal athletes, they all have stories about what was said to them. And what was done to them at different times, right? And again, not in front of a camera and not on a screen. So that's going to be the test here, is that, you know, it's time for hockey to grow up a bit.
Let's be completely blunt. Nobody said we solved the problem yesterday. This is the start, right? This is a call to action. We got to catch up.
Yeah, and Rob, I look forward to the day when we're not having any conversation.
Absolutely.
And maybe we're getting there. You know, I've spent a lot of time, you know, I work with Brian Burke on his book, and I spent a lot of time talking to him about his son, Brendan, and about You Can Play and about the efforts that were made there. However kind of enlightened you feel in your own life and in your own circle. And, this is about cracking a culture. And, I think, those cracks were already starting to appear. But this is a significant moment, and anybody who kind of tries to poo-poo it is wrong.
Brian deserves some credit too, doesn't he? Because in many ways he kind of kicked this, you know, conversation going, because it needed to come from somewhere. But his weight and his gravitas really, you know, and of course You Can Play is a huge part of this conversation too.
I think, look, Brian, if Brian was here, he would give the credit to other people. And I know people are going to roll their eyes at that because they think Brian's, you know, a big, you know, maybe a bit ego-driven guy. But I know him pretty well. And, you know, he would start talking about Brendan if we were in this moment right now. And he wouldn't be talking about him. I think that, you know, that moment when Brian stood beside his son who had come out and that was a hockey conversation that had never happened before. So, yeah, I think he deserves credit, but I think, you know, that's a guy throwing his true colors. Whatever you think of Brian in other ways, and I know he's polarizing, that's just a person showing his true colors.
Listen, I'm a little bit over, but I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you just one more thing back into the world of sport, and that is the Jays. We are 10 days away. From, I believe, Major League Baseball's trade deadline. The Jays are coming home. Take last night's result out of it, and maybe you can't take last night's result out of it. Is it a busy week or busy 10 days coming up for the Jays? Do they have decisions to make, or have they made their decisions?
No, I think they probably have decisions to make. I think the market has to kind of, you know, it's like, you know, deadlines force people's hands, right? So we are approaching a deadline. There are teams that are going to be selling. They're going to want to extract max value, teams that are out of it. And, you know, teams like the Jays who are going to have to look long and hard at the price they might have to pay to get pitching. Like, I don't think this is all in. I don't think this is, you know, we got to win this year or we're tearing the team apart. Obviously, that's not what this is, a young team still. But I sense that they will be aggressive. I don't think they're done. And I think they have a chance this year to get into the play. And if they get into the postseason, I think they have a chance to do something. You know, if you shorten up that rotation a little bit and look at the offense that they can deliver, they're probably right. So, yeah, I would think, well, it's going to be all about pitching. Like, they may be a third baseman, but obviously, you know, last night, it's hard to kind of forget what happened last night. But
it is.
They need – it was awful. But they need a rotation arm, probably. You know, maybe not, you know, I'm not sure Max Scherzer is going to be available, but maybe not on the Max Scherzer level, but somebody reliable who can eat some innings and keep them in games. And they definitely need another arm or two for the bullpen to and kind of figure things out once, you know, they're also kind of coming back to full health. But yeah, I expect they're going to have a hell of a week because, you know, they're getting ready to move to Toronto, which is not a small thing. You know, Ross Stripling talked about it in the presser last night. It's, you know, it's the third move for these guys. It's not easy. Families are, you know, being relocated or dislocated again. But I think, yeah, for Ross Atkins and company, they just got through the draft. And now they've got now they're on the clock. And but I sense, you know, the other thing is I think they have to do something for the players on this team. You remember 2014 when they sat tight at the deadline that year because Alex Anthopoulos had no financial flexibility.
Yep.
And the clubhouse soured that they didn't get
That's
any
right.
help.
Yep.
I think they owe it to these guys to do something, and I think they know that.
Always a pleasure, my friend. So much we could keep going. We didn't even talk about the NBA finals. So much to talk about the CFL, but some important stuff today. And so I'm glad you could indulge us on a conversation. Again, really important day yesterday for hockey. It needs to move forward, and good on him for Luke Prokop to kind of kick that process going. Enjoy the rest of your summer, my friend.
Thanks, Rob. Take care. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you.
Stephen Brunt, brought to you by Hypermia. Find the correct blend of performance, reliability, and affordability for your hosting service with Hypermia. Details at hypermia.ca, Calgary's local cloud.
Justin Connolly is going to join us at 7:45 from the Calgary Pioneers and Ambassador with You Can Play. So much to talk about, the importance of what came out yesterday and the work that still needs to be done. Somebody sent me a tweet and is critical because I guess interpreting that I've said that we haven't solved anything. And I haven't said that either, by the way. And I think there's work to be done. But yesterday was a good day, thanks to Luke Prokop. We'll come back, talk a little Calgary Stampeders next with Matt Rose here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. And controls, Iconic is proudly owned and operated from Western Canada since 2008. They take great pride in giving back to the communities that we all work and live in. Rob Kerr in for Boomer in the Morning here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning continues, brought to you by Grey Wolf Golf Course, host of the 2021 Elves for Autism Charity Golf Tournament. Sign up today at greywolfgolf.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Some hockey talk coming up for you here in the 8 o'clock hour. We are a day away from the Seattle Kraken expansion draft, and there's intrigue. There is no doubt there is intrigue as well, only a couple of days away from the NHL entry draft. And by the way, 1 week from tomorrow is the start of free agency in the National Hockey League. As we've said all morning, this isn't your typical July. We go down the guest hotline brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Make it a great night. Choose from pizza and wings, pasta and seafood, or steaks and ribs. Order now through DoorDash or dine in at 660 Memorial Drive Northeast. Yesterday was a huge day, an important day for Luke Prokop, and I think we're all better for it. Hockey needs to be better, and I think you know, as much as yesterday is about the bravery and just the sheer will, I guess, of Luke Prokop and coming out and again, I keep going back to his authentic self. That's what he talked about. He's going to save lives, and I think the mantle was tossed down a little bit to us in hockey and organizations. We got to do better. We have to do better. We have to make sure that we are inclusive. We have to make sure that we are safe, and we have to make sure that, you know, players feel like they can be their authentic selves. I couldn't think of anybody better to join us and continue this conversation. Just a little bit about him. He came out in 2015 and has become an advocate in the community and a really powerful advocate. He works with the Calgary Inclusive Hockey Association, is part of the Calgary Pioneers. And he's really, and by the way, you need to know that the Pioneers were the first LGBTQ hockey team in Alberta. He's also an ambassador for You Can Play. But he's a guy behind the scenes that maybe people don't know yet, but he's doing a lot and he's working with a lot of groups. Justin Connolly, kind enough to join us. Justin, how are you, sir?
Good. Good, Rob. How are you?
I'm great. It's a pleasure to be able to do it this morning. It's not a Starbucks patio, but here we are having a very similar conversation because a very important topic. Yesterday, your view, your thoughts on Luke Prokop and his announcement.
I think it's huge. It's a watershed moment for hockey, and obviously he's the first player on an NHL contract to come out as gay, and it's a huge step forward for the LGBTQ plus community and also the hockey community as well.
Why? I mean, it's an obvious question, but I want you to articulate it probably better than I can. Why is it important?
Because no one in his position has done that before. So he's going to become a role model for a lot of kids, a lot of youth hockey players that maybe are struggling with their sexuality, that are really having a hard time with it. And now they have someone that they can look up to and that they can identify with.
Justin, to me, that's the one part of this that I'm saying all morning. He's going to save lives, isn't he?
He is. I don't think we're going to see the impact right away of his announcement and his courage. I think we're going to see that as time passes, because there's going to be that trickle down effect to youth hockey, to youth sports, to kids that are struggling, whether they're struggling with their sexuality, their gender, whether they're transgender, non-binary, gay, bisexual. It doesn't matter. We're going to see that impact later on. And it's going to be huge, because Luke is that first person, again, associated with the NHL. And we've seen past players, whether it's Brock McGillis, who came out, who played in the OHL. We look at transgender players like Harrison Brown and Jessica Platt. There have been other trailblazers, but also, for Luke to take that step forward is really, we're going to see that impact as time goes on.
Do you agree? And I kind of said it off the top, and I've said it all morning, that what Luke did yesterday was important. I'm really proud of him. But it was also a call to action for us in the game, right? We haven't solved anything. Yesterday didn't solve anything, did it?
No. It's a good wake-up call, I think, because, as you said, hockey, there does still need to be changes in the hockey culture. The hockey community. Hockey is typically been a very hyper-masculine sport, and that's what's stopping other players from coming out, or players from being their genuine selves and having that confidence to come out, because there's that fear that they're not going to be accepted. A lot of the language that's used in locker rooms and dressing rooms and around hockey culture, homophobic language, transphobic language, whether it's very habitual in hockey, has been for a long time. And it does need to change, because that's what's stopping a lot of players from being themselves. It's that fear that they're going to be accepted by their teammates, coaches, parents, officials. And when someone isn't their true, genuine selves and isn't confident to come out, then that's going to affect their performance on and off the ice. And we want everyone to be at their best.
Justin Connolly is our guest down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, of course, from the Calgary Pioneers. He's also an ambassador for You Can Play. It does speak to a greater conversation about inclusion, does it not? I say this all the time. The last year or so, we've been living in a moment of time. A lot of social conversation, most of it uncomfortable. Some of it turns people away because they just don't want to face things. But the reality is sport is a very good mechanism, can be a very good mechanism for for change. This is part of a greater conversation, isn't it?
Absolutely. Sports, one of the last things that brings people together, that can put differences aside and bring people together. You know, back to the 2010 Olympics, I think everyone in Canada was cheering on Team Canada. And like I said, hockey hasn't been always overly welcome to people that aren't that are minorities. So whether that's the LGBT+ community, Canadians, anyone that typically isn't mostly white and athletes. So there's a financial barrier to playing the game, and it does open up that conversation of how can we make hockey more accessible and more inclusive.
What do we need? I mean, I talked a little bit about the sport needing, but where do we go next? I mean, this is a step, but what else needs to happen? Where else are we looking for change or improvement?
I think it starts at the grassroots level. I mean, people in the position of power need to, there's obviously a lot of PR campaigns and stuff about change and how can we make change, but it's about how each individual can actually step forward and help make that change. One simple way to do it is how if you're not part of the LGBTQ+ community, how can you become an ally? How can you step forward and stop someone? You know, if there's somebody makes a homophobic remark, how can you step forward and let them know, hey, you know what, that's not okay. Stop using that language. And a lot of people can just take a step back and actually look within themselves and say, how can I make a difference and how can I change? Look at your own behavior. And that, I think that going forward, little steps by little steps, will have a huge impact. Because I look at kids, when I used to instruct hockey at Winsport, I used pry tape on the stick all the time. And that showed, without saying anything, that showed that I'm an ally. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if someone's struggling with sexuality, they can then know deep down inside that, you know what, it's okay to be myself. So using things like pry tape on your stick or your baseball bat or a lacrosse stick, whatever it may be,
In conversation, Justin Connolly's kind enough to be our guest down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline, of course, from the Calgary Pioneers, and You Can Play. We're talking about the announcement yesterday by Hitman defenseman Luke Prokop, who came out, and the reaction, and I know it's social media, so I take it with a little bit of a little grain of salt, but what did you make of the kind of that social media outpouring that we saw yesterday?
It shows that we're, at a lot of levels, we're ready for change. I'm so proud of Luke he obviously wouldn't have made this announcement if he didn't feel he had the support system around him and people that cared and loved him. And that's huge. Coming out is a very personal decision for anyone. And for him to make that, he obviously had the courage and the support system around him. And the outpouring of support shows that, you know, you can come out and be the person that you want to be, the person that you are, and still play the sport that you love. It warmed my heart to see the reception that he got, and I would love to see, and obviously we need to continue to see that happen moving forward.
One of the things that came out yesterday, Justin, was a pledge from the National Hockey League in Luke's name. Of a considerable amount of money, $100,000 to a number of groups, and you're connected to a couple of the groups. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened there?
Yeah, so the NHL announced that there's $100,000 going to four different organizations, the Calgary Inclusive Hockey Association being one, the You Can Play Project being another, the Edmonton Rage, which are our sister team up in Edmonton, so they're the inclusive hockey team up in Edmonton, who we play in a Battle of Alberta every year, except for COVID, and then the Trevor Project, which helps LGBTQ youth in the United States. So that money will be going towards LGBTQ+ community initiatives and how we can help within our own community going forward. And we're really excited and very, very honored to be given this money so we can put that back in the community and help out our own community.
So I've talked about who you work, but tell me a little bit about the work that you do with the Calgary Inclusive Hockey Association. What's the mandate? How are you making a change?
So we're a safe place for LGBTQ+ hockey players. that want to come out and be who they are, be around people that are within their community, and play the sports that they love. We've had people from different backgrounds. We're not just for LGBTQ. I struggle saying this acronym all the time because I try and say it too fast. LGBTQ plus players, but we're also there for allies. We've had straight people on our team. We've had people from all different backgrounds within our community as well. And we just, we're that safe place for people that want to come be around their community and play hockey. And we're going to try and do some more outreach within our community as well, moving forward to obviously with this donation from the NHL.
You're also an ambassador for You Can Play. Can you just speak a little bit? I thought anyway, and maybe I'm wrong, but I think history is going to show us that Brian Burke and his family's commitment to that really kind of started a ball. Maybe it hasn't rolled down the hill quite quick enough, but it did start something very important, didn't it?
It did. You Can Play started obviously when tragically Brian's son Brendan passed away in 2010. He came out. It was in his honor. He came out in 2009. He was the team manager for the men's hockey team at Miami Ohio University, and then he tragically passed away not too long after. But the You Can Play project is to carry on his legacy, and to let people know that if you can play, you can play. You can be who you are and still play the sport that you love. And this announcement from Luke yesterday shows that it took, I think, a lot longer than most people would have thought. But at the same time, Brian always said that we 100% know that we have gay players in the NHL, and eventually one day one player will come out, and it will be a watershed moment where we can keep pushing things forward.
Justin, I really appreciate this. I can't say it enough how proud I am of Luke. And prior to this, I was always proud of him because of his work in the community, let alone his hockey play. But I keep coming back to how important yesterday was and the fact that, it's going to save lives because somebody's going to hear the message. Somebody's going to hear his story. Somebody's going to be inspired. Somebody's going to know that there's, somebody out there. Hopefully somebody hears this conversation. So kind of just to put a bow on it, can you just go back to how can we be allies? How can we make sport inclusive?
Be open in your thinking. Some simple things to do is use someone's preferred pronouns, and ask them. Ask them their preferred name. Don't be afraid to ask those important things and don't assume. People rather be asked. It's good to clarify going forward. Be aware of the language that they're using. Use inclusive language, and just be open to new ideas. Not everyone's going to agree on everything, but we can all see eye to eye on a lot of things, and taking those small step forwards, everyone looking within themselves how they can become an ally, is going to help us push us forward.
Justin, you are a good man. I hope everybody appreciates how much work you do in the community and how much of an advocate you are, not only for this cause but inclusion. So thank you for spending some time. Again, I go back to yesterday was great. It's fantastic. But it's a start where there's work to do.
Okay. Awesome. I appreciate it, Rob.
Thanks, Justin.
Thanks. Bye.
Justin Connolly, kind enough to join us down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Make it a great night. Choose from pizza and wings, pasta and seafood, or steaks and ribs. Order now through DoorDash or dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast. I should know that by now. Oh, we'll take a break when we come back. The Kraken will have players. As a matter of fact, they might already have players. Will they have a Flame play? Will they have a Flame captain? We'll talk a little bit about that. Lots to do. Busy, busy morning for you. Rob Kerr in for Boomer in the Morning here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Boomer in the Morning is on your radio, tablet, smartphone, and always on your smart speaker. Brought to you by Grey Wolf Golf Course, host of the 2021 L's for Autism Charity Golf Tournament. Sign up today at greywolfgolf.com. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Yeah, I think it was a first and a third, and he can't do that. It's a shame, and we'll see where this goes, but he couldn't do that. And from what I understand, everybody understood that couldn't happen. I think the biggest question is, one of the things I think the Flames were weighing, Logan, was where could he end up? Like again, same deal. Like, what happens if, you know, say, imagine, you know, Seattle said we keep 25 or 50% of Giordano. How valuable do you think he'd get? I think he could get a ton for it.
Elliot Friedman, who was on with Logan Gordon yesterday afternoon, I would suggest if you didn't hear that conversation, you might want to go back and listen to it in its entirety. Logan did a great job. Speaking of great jobs, Matty Rose does a great job. I haven't given him anywhere near enough time, so hopefully we'll rectify that here in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Rob Kerr in for are they vacationing? Are they holidaying? Are they hungover? What's
they're hungover.
The
yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
And they're back tomorrow?
Yeah. Wow. They were big corporate golf tournament yesterday out in the mountains, so...
Gotcha.
Yeah, I guess it seemed...
life's hard in these morning shows.
Yeah.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Oh. First and a third, Matty Rose. The Seattle Kraken wanted a first and a third from the Calgary Flames not to select Mark Giordano in the upcoming expansion draft. If you continued listening on to that conversation, I think if you scan lots of media, there are many opinions, and I guess I share that opinion. I have no, by the way, I should always do this. Understand that as we're having this conversation, recognize who and what I work for. Like, I'm on the Hitman side, you know, they don't invite me over to the Flame side at all, but I am in the same building. So when I say this, I got to make sure I have no inside information. Bradtree Living does not call me or send me emails and go, what do you think? So I'm like everybody else on this.
There's not like a company email chain?
No, there's not a company. Like... Yeah, hey guys, this week we're going to have a barbecue. Don't forget the Hitmen are selling season tickets. Oh, and the Flames are releasing that. You know,
yeah.
That's not how that works. You know, Craig Conroy and Brad Pascal don't knock on my door and go, Rob, are you busy? Are you setting ticket prices? Could we get you for a couple seconds? What do you think?
Make sure to fill out your employee survey where we are discussing what the worth is for Johnny Gaudreau's next contract.
Exactly.
It's
exactly.
A quick question at the end of the email. If you could just answer that, that'd be great.
If you really want to know how that scenario works, just imagine two big glass doors that lead into the hockey operations office and Rob's face pushed up against the glass because his key won't let him in. I'm like everybody, and I got to be honest with you, I'm not as into the day-to-days as I used to be when I did this job. That was the beauty of this job. It forced you to pay attention. But here's what I think. I think it's a pretty safe bet the Kraken are going to take Giordano, don't you think?
I'm right on the same page there. Yep.
Yeah. And I think it's a good, like, I think it's a good move for the Kraken. I think it's the right move. I mean, interesting, you know, one person who I trust explicitly and think, but I'm not allowed to say his name, Craig Button, talked about it yesterday that, geez, you know, what if they got him and then what could they get if they flipped him at the deadline? I'm like, holy crap. I didn't even think of that.
Well, Seattle's going to have a ton of options there because if you end up being a contender, which...
You have to go to the Stanley Cup Final. That is the bar that has been set. It's an abject failure for the Kraken's inaugural season if they do not go to the Stanley Cup Final.
I think they should try and make the playoffs because the division lends an opportunity
lends
to make it into the playoffs.
That? Yes, I think it
if
does.
If you can.
Yes.
And perhaps win around. Sure. Lofty goals. Love it. But yeah. I think that the thing is here with Mark Giordano, if you bring him in, you get him for 1 year and say the team is good and Jack Eichel doesn't go to Anaheim and the guys in L.A. don't take a big step, sure, then they make the playoffs. Great. Mark Giordano has a good year. Excellent. Hurrah. They re-sign him for a short-term deal. Rides off into the sunset. That's one situation. The other is things go terribly wrong in Seattle. They plummet to the bottom of the standings, and Mark Giordano gets traded away at the deadline. Seattle, with a plethora of cap room and money to spend, eats some of Giordano's salary, gets a bunch more picks, prospects, or whatever you need back in a deal with a team who's going into the postseason, and you could get a king's ransom if you ate some of the salary on Mark Giordano's contract for one playoff run. I think you could get a ton.
But Matty, you might get it if you flip him now.
Sure, but
you know, because the Kraken are going to have space, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, if somebody really wanted him at a reduced price, they may go. It's this is why I don't do fantasy sports. This is why. I am not in perpetual drafts. I cannot do it. I cannot separate myself from the individual to the performance and the raw data. Would I give up a first-round pick and a third-round pick to keep Mark Giordano? My brain says no, no. But my heart says, yeah, damn it, he needs to retire as a Flame. Right? This is why I don't play fantasy sports. Know your weaknesses, people. Know where you... Like, I in my tenure here in Calgary, which is now 18, 19 years, most of it has been around the Calgary Flames. And for the most part, Mark Giordano has been part of that. And not unlike the Luke Prokop conversation we're having today, as great as a player as he is on the ice, I have so much admiration for what Mark and his wife, Lauren, have done in the community. And I think people know it, but I don't think everybody knows it. And I'm telling you, it ain't run-of-the-mill stuff. We're talking about propping up schools. We're talking about computers and sports equipment and meals and things like they have set. The man is a Muhammad Ali. Like, whoever thinks that a Calgary Flame is going to win an ESPN award? But he did, and he deserved it. And he is really, truly a genuinely nice guy. And his story is fantastic. He's what you want your sons and daughters to grow up in life and be. Not only great at their profession, but better in the community. He is, to me, terrific. But his play, if you look at his Corsi in the last... Yeah, I get that. I understand that. And it's not a knock against the analytics world. It isn't. I get the importance of numbers. I do. And he's not the same player. But I would love to see that man, never drafted, signed to a three-way contract, announce his retirement and retire as a Flame, having played his entire career here. That's what I would like. I would like that. Can I have that? No, because we're not allowed to have nice things.
Well, I think that the thing here is that...
Here's what we would like.
Oh, wow.
The thing about
I'm not even here a day, and now I'm getting shots. Oh, my golly. Okay,
here's the thing with Gio is that there's no other option for Seattle to take. There's no other reasonable option to take, especially if Calgary isn't going to match the price.
How do you know?
Because
you
Sam
know
Bennett
that?
Got traded away. Okay. Milan okay. Lucic has a $6 million contract with a no movement clause. I don't right. think Oliver Shillington is even close to the stratosphere of asset value compared to Mark Giordano.
Oh, no, 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 no. I would not have that argument with you. But I think the one thing that gets overlooked in all of this, I think we have very surface conversations about these things, but don't. And I learned this critically with Vegas. Vegas had an obscene amount of scouts before they ever played a game. Obscene amount. They had an obscene amount of hockey operations staff and department a year out. Obscene amount. And I'm like, this is ridiculous. Because I believe when Columbus came in, it was Doug McLean and probably his kid or the broadcaster friend he has from the island did all of that work. But no, 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 no. The Vegas Golden Knights set the frickin' bar, and they knew everything and everyone. So my only pushback to that is clearly Seattle's done. I know Seattle's the same thing. Incredible amount of work into it. Mm-hmm. You don't know if there is a player in this. And I'm playing a hunch here. I'm playing a possible. I'm not saying it's a for sure. I don't think they necessarily go, geez, Glenn Godden's a diamond in the rough. Let's sit quiet and take him. It could happen. I just, you're right about beyond Mark, what is there? I still think Shillington's feet are attractive to people. I do.
Sure.
But not, you know.
But you could.
I'm trying to thread a very small needle here.
Yeah, there's a devil's advocate look to it, but like you could acquire Glenn Godden with Mark Giordano or a similar player if you take Giordano in the expansion draft, and then you decide, okay, this isn't working. We want to go younger. You could go out and acquire a very similar player to Glenn Godden from any team across the NHL for Mark Giordano.
Right. Right.
In some
do,
sort of
by
package,
the way, I
right?
do not, I do I do not think that'll happen.
Yeah,
I,
exactly.
None of that'll happen. None of that'll happen. But I think it's a good cautionary tale when you look at all 30 teams. Don't you know? It's easy to pick. Oh, I take that guy, that guy, that guy. I mean, go to St. Louis. Is Tarasenko the play or is Vince Dunn the play?
There right? for me, just to look at the example. For me, the choice there is Vince Dunn.
Isn't it?
because with Vladimir Tarasenko, I know the Blues have been very clear about his shoulder surgery, but that's still a player who's coming into the $7.5 million cap hit, and you don't know...
29.
You don't know what more you're going to get from him, even at the age of 29. Whereas Vince Dunn, once again, a top four defenseman, even if he doesn't stick around, that is more of an asset than Vladimir Tarasenko at this point, if you ask me, because I just don't know. Like, Tarasenko could go out and score 30 this year, and I'll eat my words. Sure.
But same conversation with Logan Gordon yesterday, Friedman kind of hinted at that if the Kraken took Tarasenko, it wouldn't be to keep him.
Yeah, right? you could flip him, could move him somewhere else, but that also gives St. Louis a lot more cap room to go out and sign Gabriel Landeskog, who maybe the Seattle Kraken are trying to sign as well. So if you end up taking Vladimir Tarasenko, you're giving a little bit more leverage to St. Louis, who you may be in a bidding war with for one of the most prized free agents on the market.
By the way, former friend of the program, John Shannon, did remind us that the deadline has passed. The Kraken have submitted their list. That was 8 o'clock Calgary time, 10 o'clock Eastern. So it's in with Central Registry now.
The
team announcement
is
comes
in
tomorrow. Well, yeah, and then it's the... Okay, now what? And what are the deals and what is going alongside? And we, you know, we're probably the only outlet in North America that has had an entire conversation about the Seattle Kraken expansion draft and have not uttered the term Carey Price 15 minutes in.
Mm.
But there's Carey Price. It goes back to, we did talk about this way back in the 6 o'clock hour. Man, there's some goalies available. Like Chris Drieger, the former Hitman, you talked about it in all the updates. It's a done deal. He's signing. So they got one. But even the idea of some of the young goalies, Minnesota, Washington, taking their young rookie goalies and flipping them, bringing in Carey Price. I mean, you know, Carey Price, Mark Giordano, that's a really interesting veteran leadership group, right?
Oh, 100%. Plus, like, you have a bunch of options for some guys you could bring in up front. I don't know if you're looking necessarily as the guys in Nashville as leaders, but we've been talking about Gabriel Landeskog, who would definitely fit in that leadership group.
That's a fascinating player for me in the hockey world. Fascinating player.
Because I think that is a guy who certainly Seattle is probably trying to get something done with. And I don't even think that it has to be done now. Like, they could have been using this window that they had.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to discuss, you know, where they're at least at. And putting the gauntlet down for when free agency opens up on the 28th so they can still go out and just pick up a Jonas Donskoy from Colorado in the expansion draft.
We've all wanted to.
Go ahead and sign Gabe Lennon.
But to your point. But
he's a legit. That's a middle six forward.
There's an interesting part of that conversation that goes back to, well, you know, I'm making light of, well, if they don't make the Stanley Cup playoffs, in a way, the Kraken have to get down on their knees and thank the Golden Knights, because the Golden Knights have given an expansion team instant credibility. Mm-hmm. You could not go to Gabriel Landeskog in the past and go, what about here?
Yep.
Right? Nobody in their right mind was going to waste 3 or 4 years while a team got its feet underneath them. That's not the issue anymore.
Well, in Seattle, just like that in itself is an incredible bonus, but I think that Seattle had so many tantalizing kind of other things that are enviable, and like, players want to go to Seattle.
Yes.
You got a pretty good climate. You're close to the ocean. You have no income tax, lots of Starbucks. I'm sure that's something that NHLers do a lot.
Space Needle.
You got all Fisherman's sorts of other Wharf. Teams. Okay. I see what we're doing here.
I don't know, but no. Hey, look, it's, you know, in all due respect, Columbus. It's not Columbus.
No. Exactly.
And for the record, I'm not going to go there, but I didn't, you know, it's a nice place, right? But Seattle, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Absolutely right. And if this is the last time that I'm on a radio station with Mark Giordano, technically he's the captain of the Calgary Flames, then I thank him. I do. I thank him. I wish it could work out differently. I really do, and I want to tip my hat to him and his wife Lauren and their work off the ice, on the ice, whatever. But you know, I love him as a hockey player, love him as a person. Think he's been a great Flame. you know, I won't. I would personally retire his number, but that's just me. Mm. You know, let the debate begin. All of those things. Is he a Hall of Famer? No, but I think he's one of the best Flames players of all time.
Yeah, and if he wins a cup in the next few years, you know, I would consider it. Okay. The guy won a Norris at 35.
Right.
Undrafted.
I just want to tip my hat to him. I really do.
Oh.
I really want to tip my hat to him. And my hope is that there's some way that it doesn't happen and he retires as a Flame. But, you know, if he does go to Seattle, there's cap space and all kinds of things that open up. And, you know, you can go back in the marketplace. The other thing is, too, I mean, this is not a team that – this is a team that's got a lot of people frustrated with it right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a team that, you know, needs to find fundamental change. And this is not me saying, oh, well, it's him. But I'll tell you right now, you move your captain, that's fundamental change.
I think if this
team... Or not move, if he gets picked, sorry.
Yeah, I think that if this team had gone out in this past season and made a run to the conference finals, the Stanley Cup final, we're having a different conversation.
If they did the Montreal.
But this is a team that we're really unsure what they're going to look like going into next year. What is the window like? Is Johnny here? Is Sean still here? Like, what is going to happen with those type of guys? And just my last point on this, like, this reminds me of going back to when Jerome Iginla was traded, in the sense that there was a sense of inevitability leading up to that trade. And it's the same way right now with Mark Giordano. There's the same sense of inevitability. But even though we knew it was coming, when Jerome was finally traded, that still hurt. And I think it's going to be the exact same thing Wednesday if Mark gets picked.
Yep. And a shout out to all of you who don't have that same emotional attachment and say, get rid of the contract.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Have
better. But what were you saying about Columbus?
No. I got to read a liner.
The gun went off!
Why do you guys? Come on. I did it to myself.
Holy cow!
Holy cow. And then that punk got fired a year later. The NHL welcomes its 32nd team, the Seattle Kraken. First step for any new team is the expansion draft. Who will they pick? Who? Who will the Flames lose? Who? Find out, player by player, tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. It's brought to you by Adrenaline Sorcerer Sports, your skate supercenter. Find the newest models of hockey skates. Custom fit on site. Adrenaline Sorcerer Sports, 9309 McLeod Trail South. And I am a big fan of Adrenaline Sorcerer Sports. More hockey when we come back. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Welcome to your morning show. This is Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Grey Wolf Golf Course, host of the 2021 L's for Autism Charity Golf Tournament. Sign up today at greywolfgolf.com. Boomer in the Morning is on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Well, I think Montreal was asked for a second and a prospect not to have Allen taken. And I don't think Bergevin wanted to do that. He did try to trade him, but I don't think his heart was really in it. I think Seattle was kind of like, look, if you don't like, this is what our offer is. If you want to protect Allen, if you want us not to take Allen, this is what it is. And Bergevin wouldn't pay it. And I think at some point in time, there was something along the lines of said that, you know, we could protect Allen and disclose price. And Seattle was like, we'll do it then. And I think they're considering it. I think they are trying to figure out everything they can about Price's medical situation. Are they going to do it? I'm not as convinced about that. But I think they're looking at it and saying there's a lot of on and off ice reasons to do this.
Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet. Just a little bit more. We kind of have not talked about what everybody else seems to be talking about when it comes to this Kraken expansion draft, and that is Carey Price. And that is some of the thought process. And I'll tell you what, Mark Bergevin, the news, I mean, it's bad enough to make it all the way to the Stanley Cup final, to lose the Stanley Cup final, and then to have the ramifications and the aftermath so quickly follow Shea Weber. And you know, first Carey Price goes on, you know, the expansion or unprotected list, and then we find out there's injuries, not to the same extent as Shea Weber. It is believed that he could come back and play next year, will play next year. But, Maddie, again, more intrigue that rolls into tomorrow.
Lots of intrigue rolling into tomorrow. I think that pick is probably going to be the most anticipated. Like, I remember the expansion draft for Vegas, and the last selection that was announced was the Pittsburgh pick. was Marc-Andre Fleury, because that was the one that we were all kind of waiting on, but we kind of knew it was going to happen, but we weren't sure. And I think that this is going to be something along the same lines. You're going to wait all 2 hours or whatever the broadcast is for the Montreal selection. I think Carey Price would be an interesting pick for them. Like, the thing is, this injury stuff clouds everything. I saw Tim Cicero put it out on Twitter the other day. He says the obvious option here is you take Carey Price, because if Carey Price is healthy, you have Carey Price. And if Carey Price is not healthy, you get $10 million in LTIR relief, which I don't necessarily know if that's something that Seattle is looking for right now.
Right.
But I would... It's one of the best goalies on the face of the earth who just carried the Canadiens to the Stanley Cup final.
With connections to the area.
Like, why is this... Why was he exposed? Why is this such a dilemma? I feel like this is a...
Well, I mean, why was he?
Like,
or
I feel like
why
we're,
all
just,
protected,
we're all just
or?
Talking ourselves out of selecting Carey Price. Like, we're all just playing our mind games with ourselves when it's like there's really only one choice here.
Yeah, but don't pull back the curtain and let everybody see us behind it, please. Like, this is what we do. While you guys do it, I don't do it. I'm here one day. I just, you know, come in and upset the apple cart and I leave. The sobering up guys will be back tomorrow. To me, it seems like a no-brainer, but again, so much data, so many opinions, so many voices. The only thing I'll remind everybody, and it does speak a little bit, you know, we talk about loyalty in sport a lot, and then we have lockouts. Now, you know, knock on wood, you know, 8 years since the last one in hockey, and hopefully we won't see any other in sport. But, I mean, just look at the negotiations between Major League Baseball and its Players Association, the NFL and the NFLPA, the CFL and the CFLPA. It's a business. Right. Ultimately, it's a business. And you probably saw that same staggering stat that I saw about players that make $10 million and the success that they have in the postseason. He's an outlier. There's a lot of $10 million hockey players that have no. And by success, he got to a Stanley Cup final this year. Right. And you might say it was a truncated season. You might say it was this. It was that. He got to a Stanley Cup final. He's a hell of a goalie. He is. There's no denying that. To me, healthy, it's a slam dunk. But if he's healthy, I'm not sure this is happening. Right. I don't know.
Yeah, and with Montreal, it sounds like they're being relatively tight-lipped about the injury situation there, whereas, like, if you call St. Louis and you ask to see Vladimir Tarasenko's records, I'm sure maybe even you and I would get at least a quick perusal. But that's the interesting part here, and that's the deep dive. Like, all the insiders are kind of putting it out there on Twitter yesterday. Like, Seattle's looking at this. Like, this was maybe something that they thought might be an option, but they weren't really thinking about it. And now they're really digging into this, because this is a guy that you can market. Like, look at the success that Marc-Andre Fleury has had in Vegas.
Right.
This is the guy who you could try and replicate that with.
It's funny because I literally, if you looked at me right now, I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth because I'm saying, stop looking at Vegas and going, that's exactly what's going to happen because it happened before. And I'm saying, but look at what Vegas did when it came to Marc-Andre Fleury. That's the reality of it, right? Are they... Okay, so the Kraken must select at least three goalies. Okay?
Yes.
I think they take more, and I think they flip goalies. Because I'm just so impressed. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there's a better... You know, do you take Soucy, the defenseman in Minnesota, rather than the goalie? I got to stop. You know, that's going back to the lecture I gave you about how much data they have and how much scouting they've done. I'm just fascinated by the goalies. Now, that's tomorrow, Friday, first round of the draft. Last week, you would have seen this, the story about a prospect in the draft. Logan, am I saying this right? Mayo?
I think it's Mayo. Okay.
He is a Canadian kid, but he was playing in Sweden. And
OHL player who went over to Sweden with the cancellation.
Right. Was investigated after a picture of him and a woman involved in an act was taken without the woman's consent and was circulated among his teammates. So right there, you question the young man's thought process. He is, yes, he's 18, 19, okay. But you don't do that. And immediately it came out, a lot of teams were dropping him from their draft consideration. He was expected, am I right, a late first rounder?
Yeah, NHL Central Scouting had him about 23 for North American. So I think before a lot of this started to come out, he was kind of late first, second round type of player. Yeah.
Okay. We have news. Do you have the statement today, or do you want me to read it?
I do have the statement right here. This came in from his Twitter account. This was just this morning. It says, being drafted into the NHL is an honor and a privilege that no one takes lightly. The NHL draft should be one of the most exciting landmark moments in a player's career, and given the circumstances, I don't feel I have demonstrated strong enough maturity of character to earn that privilege in the 2021 draft. If I were to ever have the honor of being selected, I would want a fan base to be proud to welcome me to their organization. I know it will take time for society to build back the trust I have lost, and that is why I think it is best that I renounce myself from the 2021 NHL draft and ask that no one select me this upcoming weekend. I feel that this would allow me the opportunity to demonstrate an adequate level of maturity and character next season with the London Knights and the OHL, and provide all the NHL teams the opportunity to reassess my character towards the 2022 NHL draft. That's
well
it.
Well crafted.
Yes.
A little bit of a change of pace.
Mm-hmm.
Son, now it's up to you. That last half of that is all on you. You're the one that has to go out and rebuild it. You're the one that has put yourself in this position. He's owning it. He's pledging to correct it, to live up to it. I think when we saw the issue a couple seasons ago with the young man in Arizona's organization that they drafted, and then they just outright released when things came to light, very damaging, just wrong on so many levels.
Yep.
What he was involved in should have been found out in the first place. Shouldn't have got to that point, but you know, they dropped him like a hot rock. We saw the Rangers with D'Angelo?
Yep, Tony D'Angelo.
Okay. A little bit of a different, little older, I think that was more of a team issue. But it brings up, and the reason I bring this up is that whole idea of second chances. This is a completely different world. This is not a laugh out loud or, boys being boys is not a thing. This is a criminal act in many ways.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by this tact. I do wonder sometimes when it comes to teenagers that make mistakes, and I'm not passing judgment or I'm not necessarily looking at any particular individual, but when we just drop them like hot rocks and say, okay, well, they're a pariah now, is there value in rehabilitation? Is there value? And I'm not saying that he should have stayed in the draft. Somebody should have taken and tried to rehabilitate him. I think he's doing it on his own. And as I said, up to you now, son. Up to you.
The one thing I will say that is quite interesting about the timing of his statement is that just earlier this morning, Katie Strang and Corey Promen of The Athletic, Katie Strang, who does a ton of incredible reporting on things like the Blackhawks and everything that's going on with their former video coach. She's got a lot of coverage on Trevor Bauer right now with the LA Dodgers.
Yep.
She had a story with Corey Promen with a lot of quotes from the victim from this incident. And about an hour later, it was when Logan kind of released that his statement. Okay. I don't think it is.
Are they connected?
Just chance that these two things happened within hours of each other. So I don't know.
It's a bigger unfolding story is what you're saying. This isn't necessarily great to have a conversation about second chances. This one needs to play itself out.
Yes, and I'm very excited that we won't have to hear people discuss him on Friday and Saturday when we're talking about, oh, how far is this guy going to fall? Because boy, oh boy, is he a great hockey player, but oh, he had this. Like, no, I'm done with that. Maybe see you in 22.
It's his words now.
Exactly.
The words that he put out, those are your words, kid.
Yep.
And I get it. You're a teenager and we all make dumb mistakes and some make dumber mistakes and some and all that second chances. I get that conversation. But if you're going to come out and thank you for bringing up the point of the reporting that the other side of the story had been told and then this comes out, because I think that does give this a different context.
Mm-hmm.
But you said them, you live up to them.
The other thing for me is that with a lot of these apologies, It's pretty easy to record a video nowadays, and it's pretty easy to have your agent send over a text message, and then you just copy it and tweet it out. So if I would like to see a lot more sincere coming from the actual horse's mouth with these type of messages. Yeah. Because I read that in 60 seconds. You could put that video on Instagram without a doubt. And I want to see the remorse. I want to see that you actually feel like you've done wrong here. So
it's kind of the theme today, isn't it?
I don't
that the words, they're great. The supports, in the case of Luke Prokop, fantastic that everybody supports him. But now the onus is on us to make sure that, you know, we live up to him and that we work to make sport inclusive. This young man screwed up, messed up, damaged a young lady's life. Now he said these words. It's up to him to live up to them and make them not words but actions, right?
Exactly. Exactly.
So the draft, by the way, we were talking about that, of course, you know, longtime home of the NHL draft here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Friday and Saturday, we will have the draft. Round one goes Friday night, 2 through 7 on Saturday. Lots and lots of good people helping us out with this, and that includes Calgary Lock and Safe. Alberta is open for summer, and you're open for business. Now, for the mad dash to get your automatic doors working, visit CalgaryLockAndSafe.com. When we come back, oh, the joys of hosting this very program. I believe the proper term is, what do you want to talk about?
No, it's called what you want to talk about.
What you want to talk about.
What you want to talk about. You just kind of mix them all four together.
Use all of the syllables, kids. When we come back, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Back to Boomer in the Morning, brought to you by Grey Wolf Golf Course, host of the 2021 Elves for Autism Charity Golf Tournament. Sign up today at greywolfgolf.com. Okay, smart speaker, play Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
One and done. It's been a lot of fun coming back. I love working with Maddie and Riley are awesome. So this has been cool. Coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, Adnan Virk from MLB Network and Cinephile Podcast, among others, the Speargrass Golf Show, and then the Pinder Report. So a busy, busy 9 o'clock hour. Don't forget Jays in Boston coming up tonight. I believe we picked that up right at 6 o'clock. So is that that's in progress, right?
Yep.
Okay.
Perfect. Yep.
Okay. I wrote this down. I know we got to get to this really important segment. Mm. It's a favorite of all of ours.
Yeah.
But I wrote this down, and I do want to do this.
Yeah, take your time. Take your time.
Because I don't get the opportunity to do this publicly very often. But I want to take just a moment to tip my hat to who I think are the reigning fun guys in sport, the leaders this summer of getting it right and putting smiles on people's faces. And gosh darn it, when I grow up, I want to be one of them. Just a tip of my hat to the Carolina Disco Turkeys. First of all, the name alone is amazing. Little college baseball league team, what do they call it? Summer league team, sorry. Down in I believe, in Raleigh. But if you want to follow somebody or you want to see somebody who gets it, and I would say that falling right behind there is the Savannah Bananas. I think they're amazing, but I really do want to tip my hat to the Carolina Disco Turkeys. Matter of fact, I would like to do some sort of, you know, twinning. I would like to, you know, wear Carolina Disco Turkeys jerseys for one game a year and have them wear Calgary Hitmen uniforms in one of their games. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think there might be some roadblocks to that. But I just wanted to shout out. So if you haven't seen them, check them out, because they've certainly brought fun back to sports. So
they've got a pretty sweet logo. I will say the snapback hats are pretty sweet.
Yeah, I like the jerseys. Did you see the shorts this weekend? The homage
yes.
to the White Sox?
Very short.
Yeah, very short. They just... Listen, they get it. They're having some fun. So just a tip of the hat. Okay, we can delay this no longer. Let's get to it.
What you want to talk about with Boomer in the Morning. Brought to you by Varsity Chrysler. Jeep season is here with discounts up to $15,000 and 0% financing. Visit VarsityChrysler.com.
Well,
And the Savannah Bananas, hey?
Yeah.
That's the other group?
Have you not? They're worth, they're far more established, and I would say there's probably a little bit more of a budget there. But I dig the fact that the guy doing their, what I do, kind of running their business operations,
mm-hmm.
wears a yellow banana suit, not a, like a suit, like a, that three-piece suit that's yellow with bananas on it. Like, I dig that. And then I shared it on social media. I don't know, you know, but it's worth seeking out. But they had a 7-piece little brass band ensemble perform a batter's walk-up song.
Incredible.
And they just walked like 5 feet behind him when he went up and they played that. Like, that stuff is brilliant. Like, that's the stuff. We need more of that. Like, we need to start understanding again that this is supposed to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Too much data, too much opinions, and we've lost sight of, you know, why we do this. Yes, to push ourselves, and there's certainly from a youth perspective, health and wellness and leadership and all of those sort of things. But when it comes to the top part, like, we still don't quite fully understand that it's okay to have villains and bad guys and people wearing black hats, and it's okay to be goofy and funny and have fun. And I just don't think we do enough of that. I just don't think we have enough fun. And good Lord knows, after the last year and a half, we could all use a little bit of fun. So if you're bored today and you're one of those people that likes to go down rabbit holes, Carolina Disco Turkeys, Savannah Bananas, have at her. You are welcome.
Have at her. All right. Should we get some to some texts?
Yes. Sorry. Yes.
It's basically a request for some of your greatest hits. This one says, great to hear you again on the radio today, Rob. That's from DJ.
Thanks, DJ.
Do you think that the Seattle Carey Price talks is just a tactic through the media to get assets from Montreal to not take Carey Price?
I think that absolutely I do. Do you not? Like, I think Friedman talked about it. Like, you know, the story was out there about, well, the NHL's already stepped in and said, you can't select him and trade him back and keep the salaries, cap circumvention, et cetera. It's funny, like, there was somebody on one of the opinion people last, you know, there's lots of opinion people. I don't know if you know that on hockey Twitter,
mm-hmm.
but was saying, like, you know, all this talk about what the Kraken might want to keep your, that's just to drive up or drive down the prices or what. Yeah, of course it is. Like, it's all a big game. There's part of me that thinks that this is, you know, Bergevin saying, okay, there he is. Take him.
Go ahead. Take him. We got a
take
shout
him.
Out to the Hartford Yard Goats.
I love the Hartford Yard Goats.
You a big yard goat guy?
I'm a big yard goat guy. They really, to me, they kind of started that trend of good names. Like, you know, yard goats, trash pandas. I like trash pandas. What's that?
Is that another baseball team?
I believe so, yeah. Hartford Yard
Rocket
Goats.
Rocket City Trash Pandas. There they right? are.
Right? Like, those are people that are going, you know what? It's okay to have fun, right? Like, it's. I mean, not to toot my own horn, but, you know, I am, of course, the owner, the general manager of the Banff Fighting Squirrels, right?
Yeah.
Big yard.
Toot your own horn, though.
No. Big yard goats. Big yard. I'm a big Hartford fan. Come on. Just any excuse to, you know, segue 2 degrees of separation to Brass Bonanza. Right?
I think I'm going to do my power rankings of the 4 teams that we've had today.
Okay.
I got the Rocket City Trash Pandas coming in at number 2.
Okay.
I'm going to go Hartford Yard Goats number 4.
Okay.
The Savannah Bananas number 3.
Right.
And whoever it was off the top.
That's how you're doing your power ranking. You don't even remember who was number 1 yet. They're better than those.
It was the Carolina Disco Turkeys. Yeah, the Disco Turkeys. They had the best logo for sure.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And, you know, God help CSEC if they ever put me in charge of something that I can name. Because I'm telling you, it ain't going to be heat-related, anything combustible or anything like that. Uh-uh. It is going to be something where people go, what the hell? That's amazing. But don't worry about it. It ain't happening anytime soon. Mm-hmm. They listen to this show, too. So, you know, that just, there's my upward mobility shot.
This one says, Rob, it's my actual birthday tomorrow. Can I get a happy birthday, Tim Jackman?
No.
Happy birthday, Tim Jackman!
Absolutely, under no circumstance will we do that.
Rob, are you still rocking to Jan Arden?
Who?
The sweat.
Go there, Rob.
What's up?
I think we butt dialed you.
Can you butt dial?
You know, yeah. You know what? I mean, it's nice to have a legacy, and this is my legacy. It's always going to be my legacy. Doesn't matter what I do in the community. Doesn't matter what I do as a father. Doesn't matter what I do, you know, within the industry I'm currently working in. My legacy will be butt dialing, you know, Jan Arden and Tim Jackman and, you know, the gun went off and all of those crazy.
Who's things. Rob Kerr?
Exactly.
A Calgary Doug Flames play by play man.
Exactly. Was. Then he got fired. But you know what I noticed is you didn't play any of the great stuff I provided this year for Stockton, by the way.
So oh, you want some Stockton before
what?
We get
Wait
out
a
of
minute.
Here?
Hold
what?
On.
Here's Phillips. Oh, what a pass! Oh, my! Ruzicka gets the goal, but that is all Matt Phillips. Number sign terrific.
Hey?
That...
You want... Do we have time, or are we going to go over? Do you want the backstory to that?
We got plenty of time. I would love
the backstory.
Backstory
to that?
Yes,
yeah,
please.
So Brent Gibbs and I are talking, and you know, it's to me, I just went through this whole litany of, I think you got to have fun, right?
Yeah.
So Gibby and I are talking, and Brent Gibbs and I do this really cool thing where on Saturday mornings, we FaceTime each other, and we watch Stampede Wrestling on YouTube, two episodes every week. We're huge wrestling guys from the 80s. So... You know, we got talking, and I was going to do these Stockton games, and we you got to throw in a Masters of Disaster, Kerry Brown and Duke Myers, or you know something like that. Okay, yeah, that'll be good. So then, way back, 2009, 2010, I was still doing the Flames TV stuff in game. I was doing the setup to the game, and. You know, it was really kind of the early part of social media. So here's the player, here's the coach, here's some things to watch. And if you're following along on social media, you know, use the pound sign WSHSVS Calgary. Well, but Matty, don't laugh. Like,
yeah,
it was just that. Like, and then it's, you know, four or five versions later, it's like hashtag got it. Okay. Like nobody stopped me. Nobody corrected me. It was a pound sign, number sign, everything. So I'm about to do this. You know, the first couple of games with Stockton didn't go really well. It didn't score goals. So there wasn't, you know, did some wrestling stuff. But then Gibby sends me a note. He goes, yeah, I told my son about you doing the pound sign. He said, you ought to try and work that in there. So that was a request.
The number sign.
Or number sign, yeah. That was a request.
I like that a lot. All right, I got one more, then we'll say goodbye.
All right.
What a save by the rookie Dustin Wolf. Look at this. Look at the lateral movement. Right over and takes it away. Thank you very much.
I love the energy. It was good to hear your calling games again.
I'll tell you, I had, honest to God, I had more fun in that booth than I think I ever had because there's no politics to it. There was no pressure to it. There was nothing. You just go up. The kids tried hard. It was fun. You're by yourself. You know, I did intermissions the whole 9 years. I just had fun with it. Like, again, you know, we've lost our way. We really have lost our way. This is supposed to be fun and entertaining. Now we take ourselves so serious that if you don't say what I want, I hate you. And if you say what I want, I said it and all that stuff. Good Lord, kids. This is a frickin' game. Put some smiles on some face. Don't take yourself so seriously. Like, honestly, that was the best part of it. The best part was getting Sandra involved, quite honestly, and working with Sandra in the last couple of games, Priscina. But at the dropping in the, you know, the rare or the really kind of silly reference, Stampede Wrestling references, doing that, just it's a game. It's supposed to be fun. I get it. For some people, it's really serious. But for the rest of us, we got to go back and just put a smile on our faces. We got to not take ourselves so seriously. Like, good Lord, if anybody should be on the Mount Rushmore of broadcasting, it should be Boomer. because there's nothing that man has ever done that is serious. There's nothing that man ever done should be taken seriously. It's all fun. That's all it is. The man doesn't know what he's talking about. It's just fun. Oh, anywho, I might have drifted a bit there.
I love it. I love it.
Yes. Why wouldn't you? I love working with you, Maddie. This is always fun. Riley, thank you so much. And again, one more time, because we can't say it enough, tip of the hat to Luke Prokop and what he did yesterday, saving lives. And now he's given us in the hockey world the ball, and we need to run with it. We need to make change. We need to make the game more inclusive. We need to make it safe for everybody. We got a long way to go, but a big step was taken yesterday. Coming up, Adnan Virk. Enjoy the rest of your day, everybody. We'll talk to you soon. I'm your pal, Rob Kerr, Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It was as if an elephant was on roller skates over top of marbles. Things were teetering.